Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecocks, the show! Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders! Pressure, and he just dives in!
And Jamie Bradford.
All right. Greetings and good morning. Welcome aboard and welcome home inside the Gamecocks, the show, live from the Signorama Studios, the preferred sign partner of your South Carolina Gamecocks, Signorama.com, Gamecock owned, Gamecock operated, located in West Columbia. And owned by our friend and yours, Matt Vaughn. We, of course, are built by the Barn Dough Co., served by Chicken Cock Bourbon. If you haven't had it, it's the weekend. Many of you will be off tomorrow like we will for Good Friday. And maybe a glass of bourbon is in store. We all deserve one these days. Mike Morgan joins us today at the top of the program, and he'll be here until the bottom of it at 2 o'clock. He'll be joined in between now and then by Brad Muller to preview the Gamecock Sweet 16 appearance up in Albany, New York, where it looked awfully warm when they arrived. Not really. It was snowing. John Strickland will be here in the third hour as well. We've got plenty of Gamecock football to get into. A drive around the SEC is on deck. That'll be up in the noon hour. We've got a splendid weekend of college baseball. Obviously, the Sweet 16 on the men's side gets going later on today. There's something else. What am I missing, guys? Oh, you know what? It's Major League Baseball's opening day that they once again have failed to promote the way that they should. No wonder the ratings go down every single year. So we'll talk about that. Carolina's got a huge series on the road at Alabama that begins tonight and a whole lot more. With that said, good morning to Mad Dog, Schubert, and the great Golden Tones from South Florida. Hey, guys.
Morning, guys.
Morning. Morning.
That's it.
What's up? All right. Dynamite drop in the morning.
All right. Well, this party really died.
Oh, yeah, I got
I thought for sure somebody had something exciting to say, but
take two in three.
Place is dead anyway. Let's get out of here.
That's right. Let's get out of here.
Went about like anyway. The Oakland.
This place is dead anyway. Let's get out of here.
I'm looking for some of that bourbon. That's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
It's cold up here.
It's cold up there. I mean, you're in Chicago. And, of course, it's cold.
Well, but a couple of weeks ago. It was 60, 65, and it didn't just last for a day. I mean, that happens sometimes, but it lasted like 2 weeks. But I told you then, the Chicago weather gods, there were a bunch of Bears fans eating pork chops up there on Mount Olympus, and I think they fell asleep. And, all right, wait a minute, 60 degrees, but we can't. Give me a beef and a week of snow. There you go. That'll take care of them right there. And so they're back with a vengeance. So it doesn't feel like baseball season. It's the 28th of March. This month flew by. And so Nat texts me. She's like, oh, my God, the White Sox are playing today. Like,
yeah,
spring training? No. Look at the calendar. No, it's 28th. So, my goodness. Here we are.
That's off
opening day baseball. We heard nothing about it from anybody. You know, I mean, usually you hear promos on ESPN or, you know, something like that. But it's just dead.
So well,
MLB TV did renew. My MLB TV renewed two months ago, though.
Yeah, but I can't. That doesn't matter for me. I still can't get the Braves. And I live next door to Atlanta. And I cannot get the Braves. It's embarrassing. Here's the thing, Mike. You've worked in calling games with the big leagues. Mm-hmm. All right, you're a baseball guy. JC's a baseball guy. Phil's a baseball guy. I'm a baseball guy. There can't be a worse TV situation in America than Major League Baseball, and not to mention you've got opening day on the day of the Sweet 16. What genius in some room at MLB headquarters thought this would be a good idea? I mean, they have butchered this whole – they probably needed to shorten the season for some time. Smoke and I have talked about that before. I think a lot of the big leaguers feel good about if you could condense the schedule down to like 140-something games, it'd be better for everybody. And then that you'd be able to change the calendar. But nobody's talking about baseball. They're opening on the day of March Madness. I think this is just a catastrophe for a sport that's trying to save itself from just plummeting TV ratings every year.
Yeah. Okay, a lot to unpack there. So, first off, the Braves have already been rained out. Okay.
Oh, I know that. So, I know that.
So, well, I know
I can't get them.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I know you know that. I don't know if our audience knows that.
Yeah,
in Philly. And even though I'm in South Florida, I still am keeping in tune with my hometown in Atlanta. And I can tell you this much. And I mean, in Atlanta, Braves are discussed every day. So like the baseball is now a very regionalized sport. For example, Jamie, Braves fan, I assume.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Phil, Braves fan.
Cubs fan.
Oh, Cubs fan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. JC, you've kind of adopted the Sox. I know that's, right, but you grew up a Braves fan.
At heart.
Yeah.
If the Braves play the White Sox in the World Series, I'm pulling for the Braves. I mean,
okay, but, so okay,
yeah, the White Sox is already over though.
What if they play in the regular season interleague?
Let's stay on point for just a second. So we got three Braves.
Yeah,
at a
Mike's
side
got
of,
some thoughts about this. Go ahead.
I want to just get this out there, and then we'll go whichever direction. So we got three Braves and a side dish of Chicago Cubs. with the problem with baseball, if you want to call it that, is that the three Braves fans on this show are probably not going to tune into Sunday Night Baseball and watch the Angels versus the Seattle Mariners or the Chicago White Sox versus the Texas Rangers. Or the Philadelphia Phillies versus the Washington Nationals. Phil and his beloved Cubs, who he can see on WGN.
Not anymore. Not like it used to be. No.
Yeah, not like it used to be. Yeah,
not like it used to be.
I grew up, I could watch the Braves on TBS, Cubs on GN, and the Mets on WOR. All that was on our basic cable package. That obviously has changed. But my point is that it's a regional sport where you care about your team, but you don't really care about anybody else that much. Not enough to invest 3 hours and sit and watch a game. That the NFL doesn't have that problem. The NFL, no matter what you put on, it's getting rated. You can put a crap game on a Thursday night on Amazon Prime, and it has gobs and gobs and millions of people watching. So to compound the problem even more, I'm in Atlanta. Braves fans, this is the cord-cutting era, as we all know, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the big cable company in Atlanta is Xfinity. I don't have enough time in a three-hour show to tell you everything that's wrong with Xfinity. Not going to go there. I have it. Regretfully, I spend a lot of money on Xfinity because it's the only way I can get the Braves. Even if you get the Bally Sports app, right, if you pay what we call OTT, over the top, you can get Hawks games. You cannot get Braves games because that is owned by MLB. So MLB, in their infinite greed and wisdom, decided that we're not going to allow that for many teams to just go over the top and get your favorite team by spending an extra, whatever it is, $15 a month. So it's riddled with problems, to your point, Jamie. The whole setup is riddled with problems. Major League Baseball, I will say this, though, for those that always say it's dying, it's doom and gloom, it all depends how you look at it. Nationally speaking, the ratings are not great. And again, Sunday Night Baseball doesn't do particularly great. And the Home Run Derby has lost its flavor and everything else. But like, if you're a Braves fan in Atlanta, it's discussed 162 games out of the year, 365 days out of the year. There's no lack of passion here. There's no lack of passion in New York. There's no lack of passion in Boston. So those fans, it's not a dying sport. But from a national standpoint, and you have what I consider it to be one of the worst commissioners in the history of commissioners, period, in Rob Manfred.
He's terrible.
He is not the guy that's going to solve the problem. But one other thing, it's kind of like the people that said, you know, the people don't go to the Colonial Life Arena to watch Gamecock basketball because there's not enough billboards out. The PR campaign's not as much. The fact of the matter is, I'm not saying all promotion is good promotion. All advertising is good advertising. But you can do as much promoting as you want of the Stars. For some people, all they're going to care about is what's in their backyard, their favorite team. They're not going to go out of their way to watch Ohtani. They're not going to go out of their way to watch pick a pitcher of any kind. That's not going to happen. So I do think that baseball finds itself, it's painted itself in a corner where people just care about their own team, and that's all.
I agree. I think you're spot on. I think the issue is in the streaming world that we're in, there's no reason I shouldn't be able to go stream the Atlanta Braves. I live next door to Atlanta. I cannot get them. I was going to buy MLB TV. I'm going to go buy it. Screw it. I'll write it off.
It's $150. It's $150.
It's $150. Yeah, we all need write-offs. Never mind. But you know, we all need write-offs, right? So I was going, screw it. I'm going to buy it. Type in my zip code, Braves, blacked out. What? So you mean to tell me that between today, which is opening day, and Sunday, there are four games I can watch this weekend? Four. And I'm not saying that, like, the Major League Baseball should be all over ABC and Fox, although they do have Saturday night Fox games, a hat tip for that. But all over ABC and Fox and, you know, all the major – that's not what I'm getting at here. Why on planet Earth can we stream any college baseball game, any college softball game, any college lacrosse game, any college soccer game? They get nobody watching those things. And we can't stream Major League Baseball? I cannot believe that in 2024 we have this conversation.
Well, it is about money. I mean, with all due respect to the sports you just mentioned, they pale in comparison to the ratings of professional sports. But you can't get, Jamie, no matter what you buy, in Charleston, South Carolina, you can't get Braves on any package whatsoever.
Unless I go to Comcast, or it might be maybe Hulu, but that's it.
Or maybe
is Bally with Hulu?
No, Bally's is only with Xfinity and DirecTV.
Okay, that's it. Well, then that's it. And I've already done, I've done my tour with DirecTV, and I've done my tour with Comcast.
I know.
I'm out.
I'm not here to promote either one of them, believe me. No. So if you bought the MLB package.
I can't get it.
You can get every other team. Yeah.
Braves are blacked out in our area. Yep. Can you believe
that? I've never totally understood that. Yeah.
Like, we live in blacked out. Yeah. If you bought it up there, they're blacked out up there, aren't they?
Yeah. The White Sox. Now, you can get the radio broadcast all day long, which I prefer on a hot day when I'm out there having a cold one. That's actually kind of cool. But, the TV broadcast for the Cubs and Sox both are blacked out. But they have up here, they have a it's called something. It may be a Bally's product. It's like Sports Champions. Network. Marquee Sports Network, Phil. There you get the head on the head. And they cover, they're kind of the Chicago regional deal. NBC did have it and was running it. Now somebody else maybe. I don't know. But the Bally's, as a company, has kind of screwed the whole thing up. This is part of like when Fox sold everything to Disney. Because Fox had all the regional sports networks, and the government was like, they were like, well, Disney don't have too many regional sports networks now because they got ESPN now all over the place. And so instead of, this is sort of like a Pac-12 network decision, instead of just saying, hey, you know, ESPN's really good at this stuff, and, you know, these guys don't know what the hell they're doing, they sold it to Bally's, which is a Vegas operation, right? And they lost their ass. I mean, instead of just giving it to ESPN like everybody else does and calling it something different or something, yet another, you know. So now we have a disaster where that goes because they don't have any money and they barely are getting the games on this year. And then you have the blackout situation. And the blackout, I think, sort of antiquated because it's like that blackouts were meant to funnel people to the games, you know. So we need to sell tickets. And then to funnel people to, you know, certain stations. And I just think as we move along and we have this buffet smorgasbord of options when it comes to a la carte television, that model is going to really get old for a lot of people, and you're going to see some major brushback. And then once they figure out how to monetize it without having these exclusive deals, and it's all just one pot of money, I think everybody made a better shape. But they're not there yet, obviously. Considering the Braves are blacked out. I can't believe they're blacked out in South Carolina. My guess is they're blacked out in Alabama, too, and maybe even parts of Mississippi.
Yeah, which is ludicrous.
Wherever the Braves are popular, yeah.
Well, it's clear they want to funnel you to those particular cable outlets.
Yeah, well, they're not funneling me.
But that's not a Bally's decision. Like, Bally's would love for you to be able to stream their games on their app. They spent a lot of money on that app. MLB told Bally's, no. We are not relinquishing the rights to the Atlanta Braves. MLB has a real strong stranglehold on a lot of things, unlike maybe the other two sports. It's a little bit different. But that's not a Bally's call. A Bally's loses out on that deal. That is an MLB decision. And I hear Braves fans complaining about it all the time. I didn't know it was that bad even in Charleston.
Yeah.
It's clearly Braves country and always has been. So that's amazing to me.
It's crazy. I mean, it's insane that it's 2024 and there is one nationally televised Major League Baseball game today. One. That is, I don't care what the ratings are. You cannot let that happen if you're Major League Baseball.
It's not on Hulu, right?
Braves no, it's not on Hulu. It's only ESPN and DirecTV. That is it. If you do not have those two things.
So it's Comcast or DirecTV.
What did I say?
You said ESPN.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, okay. It's only on Comcast, Xfinity, which are the same thing, and DirecTV, which is now owned by AT&T.
Oh, what you were saying, I think you just crossed it up.
Yeah.
The one game today is on ESPN, and that's...
Correct. Like, which I'm surprised, like, why would MLB not have games on? I didn't check the guide to see, you know, like I said, I mean...
And it's on the Sweet 16 is being played today. Like you're going to get pummeled. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason.
ESPN used to have like a weekend of baseball when they used to have like five or six opening.
Oh gosh. Right? Well, you used to have baseball. I mean, the reason why you have Carl Ravitch calling SEC basketball games is because ESPN basically punted on MLB and gave it to Fox. So ESPN, I mean, it was the coolest thing as a baseball fan like myself back when I think they first signed the deal when I was like in the eighth, ninth grade. You would have Major League Baseball on 3-4 days a week. They would have live games. Then you would have Baseball Tonight with Carl Ravitch, a true studio host, hosting that show every night. It was either him or Berman. So you'd have Baseball Tonight every night, and you would have live baseball games 3-4 days a week. And then ESPN hit a fork in the road. You can't have everything. They decided to invest all that money into the NBA, and Fox said, we'll take MLB. So now Fox is really the home, the true home of them. They've got the World Series. They've got the LCS. They've got the All-Star Game. And between Fox and FS1, which I know a lot of people don't watch, but it is there. It's their version of like ESPN2 or whatever you want to call it. They do most of the games that ESPN used to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks a lot, Major League Baseball. You know what we can, though, watch on TV and listen on the radio, which is what I'll do simultaneously, is enjoy the South Carolina women's basketball team in the Sweet 16. Brad Muller is the voice of the Gamecocks, and he will join us next as we switch gears here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans, where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And chicken cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Hey, Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare. But at the Barn Door Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy installation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Door Company. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated. The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cardoso for three. Banks it in! A miracle for the Gamecocks!
Well, hopefully they won't need another miracle. Indiana and South Carolina will tip at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on ESPN, but Brad Muller will be calling it. Actually, I believe that'll be 98.5 FM in the Midlands, won't it, Brad?
Yeah, that's right. We'll be on 98.5 to keep away conflicts with baseball running simultaneously. And then if we make it to Sunday will be in Columbia on 107.5. Yep.
Okay. And then if you're outside of the market, is it you have to pull up the Varsity app? Is that true for the?
Yeah, no? you can just go. There's a Gamecocks app you can listen through, or okay. If you go to GamecocksOnline.com, there's a listen live thing, and okay. we've also been on in Charleston on 98.9, I think, since January. So, yeah. But yeah, you can always just go to the website and click on listen live if you're outside of Columbia.
Brad, what kind of music can we enjoy on 98.5 pregame wise? If I want to jam a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to my old DJ days and spend spend some of my favorites, some Hall & Oates, and
okay,
the older I get, so the more little, I appreciate the magic of Hall & Oates. Yeah,
little man eater, little family man, leading into go. Women's basketball, and then after a win, maybe you can enjoy a little Earth, Wind & Fire, little Sticks, right. REO Speedwagon.
Yeah,
if there's enough time, a trip to the Olive Garden.
There you go.
Good to see you, bud. I know we've talked off this show a number of times. I was thinking about this the other day. The last Gamecock football pay-per-view game that I called, you and I were in Oxford, Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
You remember that? Carolina Ole Miss in 2008. Back then, you had to pay $30, speaking of cable and everybody complaining about the status of current TV. You had to pay $30 to see it. Now that was money well spent if you were a Gamecock fan. That was a lot of fun to call. Now, if you had to spend $30 for the back-to-back losses to Vanderbilt, which I believe you were on that as well.
Yeah,
not so much fun.
The true joy of those pay-per-view games that we used to do was when we had George doing sidelines, George
yes.
Rogers, and it was just he was great because everybody loves George, right?
Everybody loves George,
and you knew George wasn't going to be neutral anyway. We did our best to kind of go down the middle in all that, but George, no. and it was just and he was great. The best part about working with George was in the press box before the game, when it was just story time with George, when he was telling stories from his days here and, stuff that you couldn't repeat on the air, but it was just great.
Good times, man. Good. I'm so happy for you and the success you've had calling these games. You and I go back a ways, and I was talking about this earlier about coaching with grind. I love grinders. I love guys that have earned their, we'll talk about the hire at Louisville with Coach Kelsey and another guy who's grinded. Well, I mean, you grinded your way into this position. If you wanted to, you probably could have done more. You kind of decided this is your lane and you want to stay there and keep doing what you do at the university. And I'm just so happy for you on a personal level that you've had a chance to call some incredible moments, indelible moments, and couldn't happen to a better guy. So kudos to you right off the bat.
Well, thanks, Mike. Yeah, it's been fun. For those that don't know, I spent 13 years at a Division II school and then came to South Carolina, thought my career was over, just basically came here to get married, change jobs, and then kind of walked into this. I got here a year before Coach Staley did, and, I was just happy to be working at my alma mater, and, you know, I didn't dream that, that there would be the success there is now. Then, you know, Dawn got here and, you know, slowly but surely it got better every year. And now we are where we are. And it's a lot of fun. I just kind of, I kind of laugh because, you know, even if we didn't have this kind of success, I would still enjoy doing it. But it's been nice to see, you know, the program rise. And it's just been fun to watch it for the last 17 years.
And you get a ring every time they win a championship, and everybody enjoys that, right?
Yeah, they've been very kind, and Coach Daly has been very kind and generous, and I get all that stuff. And you know, you can't type with it, you can't, because they're, you know, they're like Super Bowl rings. You can't, you know, but it's neat. It's really neat to be a part of, because you know she treats everybody you know that's part of her team like a member of the team. You know, it doesn't matter what you do, if you're part of the team, you're part of the team. So it's been great.
Well, not to come across as the reporter before the Bucks play the Lions in a dome in Detroit, but what's the weather report up there? Not that y'all are playing outside, just curious as to how chilly it is outside of the.
It's not too bad. It's what you'd expect for Albany, New York. The sky is gray. It's a little bit of misty rain, but there's still some snow on the ground, I guess, from a snowfall they probably had a couple of weeks ago. But now you can walk around with that without a huge jacket on. It's maybe in the 40s, 50s. So not too cold, not too bad for around here this time of year.
And a reminder, they do play inside, so yes, it won't matter. But some news today, by the way, from this program and the future of this program, future probably star, Joyce Edwards was named the Gatorade National High School Player of the Year. So just another key piece is coming, but she won't be playing tomorrow or the rest of this tournament for that matter for Dawn Staley and her Gamecocks. Indiana will step on the floor next and try to slow down this undefeated 34-0 team. Gamecocks are 15.5-point favorites at MVP Arena tomorrow night. So we'll just I don't know that many of us know much about the fourth-seeded Hoosiers. Give us a scouting report.
They're good. Their starting five is good. All five of their starters average double figures. They lead the nation in field goal percentage. They're among the tops in the nation, one, two, or three, depending on the day, in three-point shooting. So it's kind of what you expect from an Indiana team. They can shoot the basketball. They may not have the depth in scoring, and that's what, you know, hopefully where South Carolina can wear them down a little bit, as they've done with most teams this year, is once you get that second unit in, or if you can get somebody in foul trouble, you know, then you've got an opportunity. It's interesting. We haven't played Indiana since it was 5 years ago. We played them in a tournament back in one of those holiday tournaments around Thanksgiving in the Virgin Islands. And that was before any of this group was on the team. I think that was Aaliyah Boston's freshman year. And we lost to them. That was the only loss that team had. That was the COVID year where it ended right after the conference tournament. And they beat South Carolina by double digits. They play, you know, a clean, traditional basketball style, and they always have kids who can fill it up, who can shoot. I think they beat South Carolina by 13 or 14. That was their only loss, South Carolina's only loss of the season. But it's kind of the same mold. They've got multiple shooters, you know, kids who can shoot the three, kids who can take it to the hole, and they've got good size, not just inside, but good size on the perimeter with their guards. A couple of their guards are 6'2", 6'3". And then you got Mackenzie Holmes, who's their big center inside, who's averaging 20 points a game, second in the Big Ten, only behind, you know, Caitlin Clark, of course, but she's averaging 20 points a game, blocks a lot of shots. And they got a little guard, Sarah Scalia, who's averaging about 16.5 points per game, and she's their version of Tahina Pau-Pau for us. She's second in the league in three-point shooting and has made over 100 threes this year. They got a couple of other guards. Yarden Garzon's another good guard who's made about 63 pointers on the year, shoots over 40%. They've just got tons of kids who can fill it up. Sydney Parrish is another one. She's a 6'2 guard, averages about 10 points per game and shoots at about 40% from three-point range. So they just shoot, shoot, and shoot. And you just kind of hope that South Carolina can out-athlete them a little bit and, you know, try to speed them up a little bit and maybe force some turnovers. Because, you know, you get to this point in the women's tournament, you kind of know who the best teams are. And for the most part, this tournament has gone mostly chalk. I think there's 1-7 seed that's still alive in the Sweet 16 and a couple of fives, but it's a lot of 1-2s and 3s, as you expect. But when you get to this point where it is mostly 1-2s, 3s, and 4s or whatever, you kind of look at it, every team is good enough to beat you because the best teams have advanced. You know, there's not usually a Cinderella in women's basketball, you know, a 10 seed that's going to make a big run. So you're going to get the best teams from this point on. And Indiana's one of them. They were one of the better teams last year and got upset early. I think they may have been a one or a two seed last year and lost in the second round. So this is kind of their redemption tour this year, trying to get further than they've been. But they've been, Indiana's been one of the top 10 teams in the country the last 3 or 4 years. It's just been quiet because they're overshadowed in the Big Ten by Caitlin Clark in Iowa.
That's a great point. So you mentioned the chalk. And Mike and I, Mike, weren't you and JC and I having, and Phil and I having this conversation about give me the best teams on the men's side not too long ago and versus the upset special who just can't get past the Sweet 16. They blow the whole thing up. I think
people love upsets in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to the Sweet 16, they really want to see the best teams go mano a mano. And you're getting that on the men's side where there's only one double digit point spread. And that's San Diego State, a Final Four team from a year ago against UConn. Everything else is relatively close. And Brad, and I'm not being critical of the women's game when I say this, but that's clearly a line in the sand. There's not the depth. There's not the drama of true dark horses, like a 12 seed going to the Final Four, et cetera, et cetera. The South Carolinas, the now Iowa's because of Caitlin Clark. I don't know if they could keep that up when she's gone. The LSU's and so on. They are so far, even just from a very amateurish eye. I don't watch a ton of women's basketball throughout the year. I'm busy calling a bunch of men's games. The difference in talent when I watch a South Carolina play, even SEC teams, it's massive. So it's really like the fun for the women's tournament. I hate to say this. It really starts closer to like the Elite Eight for me than it does, say, in like the men's tournament.
Yeah, it's the better teams advance. There's just not that many upsets early on in the tournament because the talent is stacked. Now, it's a little more spread out than it used to be, where it used to be, okay, you knew the ones were all going to the Final Four and things like that. Right. But now the talent is spread out a little more because of teams like South Carolina. You know, UConn's not getting all the McDonald's All-Americans now. LSU is getting them. South Carolina is getting them. You got the several teams in the Pac-12, you know, in their swan song year as a conference, and you've got a couple of teams there with Southern Cal, who's got, you know, one of the most dynamic freshmen in the country, and Juju Watkins, who is they could win the whole darn thing. UCLA is really darn good, and they've been good the last couple of years. Let's see, yeah, you've just got Ohio State's pretty good before they lost some to injury, but Virginia Tech the last couple of years have been good, but then they lost a few kids to injury. So yeah, the top seeds, one, twos, and threes now, and a couple of fours are really good. They've all got high school McDonald's All-Americans, but you're not going to see them lose in the first two rounds. Just because those other teams just don't have the talent and the size. You know, you had a few games that were close in the second round, but the better teams won, the better teams pulled away in the end. But again, we're at the point now where you've got the best teams in the tournament. And I think, as you guys said with the men, you really, as much as you love upsets in the tournament, you want to see the best teams. Like if you went to, use example of the college football playoff, nobody wants to see, I don't know, pick a team.
TCU again?
Yeah,
TCU?
Well, yeah, nobody wants to see Newberry College, you know, upset, you know, the University of Georgia somehow.
That would be an upset.
Right, yeah. Yeah, everybody wants to see the big, when you get your football, you want to see the two best teams in the championship game, right? And it's the same with basketball. Once you get towards the Final Four, you want to see the top four teams and you want to see the matchups. I mean, and, you know, you want to see the teams this year that have gotten really good, the Southern Cals. You want to see – you know, the world wants to see, you know, Caitlin Clark, of course, do her thing. And, you know, they want to see the rematch with LSU. And, you know, it is what it is. But right now in the women's tournament, you've definitely got the best teams in it. The best teams aren't sitting at home right now.
But Brad, don't you think on the flip side of that, it is a far cry from the days where it was Tennessee, UConn.
Yes.
Over and over. And then occasionally Purdue or somebody would step in. And I think this, what do you think about there used to be maybe a villains in the sport, depending on if you're a Tennessee or UConn fan. You pointed kind of your guns at one another. Now I think LSU has become like the true villain. I think Dawn and her program, they're certainly has their detractors outside. You've got Caitlin Clark, a superstar. All this drama. Don't you think that it is fundamentally good for the popularity of the game, which will bring more dollars in, which will allow some other schools to expand their recruiting budgets and invest, and thus even the playing field even more to make for an even more exciting tournament. We were talking to Tim Brando about this the other day. I had a good discussion on it.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's better for the game when there's more teams. I mean, it wasn't any fun when, unless you were a UConn or Tennessee fan, when they were winning it every year. I mean, UConn won, you know, 11 national championships in less than 20 years at one point. And, you know, it just got to be ridiculous because everybody was playing for second place. And, you know, that's clearly not the case anymore. You know, and with the villains, you know, you have the teams that become this, I don't want to say the Cinderellas, but they become the favorites, let's say, of the four-letter network for a while. And then when they win a little too much, then they become the bad guys. You know, so it's like, all right, the shine is off then. Now we like this new shiny thing over here, which, you know, right now the shiny thing is probably Caitlin Clark. Last year it was LSU because they were a three seed that won the whole thing. And that doesn't happen a lot in women's basketball. And so, you know, now LSU is more of the bad guy. And, you know, sometimes they can wear that hat because they've got a, you know, an outspoken coach and there's a lot of taunting. You know, the extracurricular stuff that you see in the women's game now that you used to not see is becoming more highlighted, whether you like it or not. And but yeah, the talent's getting spread out, and every year there's some good stories. You know, the good teams aren't getting every one of the best players. I mentioned Juju Watkins from Southern Cal. You know, she's from California. I know South Carolina had her on campus last year, hoping to get her, but she wanted to stay close to home, which I don't blame her. I mean, if you're a California kid, your parents probably aren't coming to Columbia every weekend to watch you play. So, you know, the talent is getting spread out more than it used to. So you don't have the same team, the same two teams every year. Again, it's not, you know, like it used to be UConn and then whoever's playing for second place. I mean, the crazy thing is UConn hasn't won a national championship since 2016. South Carolina has won two. And I always say three because of the COVID year where they were the number one team. You know, they've done it three times since UConn last won one. So it's no longer UConn and Tennessee, which, yes, it's definitely better for the game that way.
And did not get put out by UConn or Tennessee one of those times.
Exactly.
All the times they did not win it. They lost to Stanford and then Iowa.
And South Carolina beat arguably UConn for the championship. Yeah.
Could have been sitting on five right now, really, if just some things had gone their way in those games. Yeah, I think I want to tell people, I tell people this all the time. This is not the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. Remember when GLOW was up against WWF? I think the sport's going to get to that solid four spot in our top, but maybe even three in some markets around college and going to stay there. I think there's something to be said for it. But I also think that, you know, in terms of the national media sometimes, and Tim brought this up too, they can almost be too critical of the men's game because at the expense of, I think there's room, plenty of room for both. I mean, South Carolina proved that with the crowds they had at both programs this year, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, you had Colonial Life Arena, which holds 18,000, and for the last, 8 years, South Carolina has led the nation in attendance. If you win, people are going to show up. And it's neat to see when South Carolina travels that other arenas we go to fill up, not just with South Carolina fans that travel, but with those fans, kind of how it used to be, you know, with Tennessee, when Tennessee would play at Colonial Life, that people wanted to see what it was all about. And it's kind of neat that it's growing the game. And, you know, especially in this day of NIL, where you're seeing the women athletes on every commercial, you know, during a game because of the money they're getting, because they can advertise now, they can be part of it. It's neat to have those personalities out there. I mean, you know, again, Caitlin Clark's on every commercial, but, you know, in years past, Aaliyah Boston was so popular amongst young children because of her personality and how she carried herself. And it's just neat that, you know, they've got this platform now, you know, that they can be exposed to kids and be looked up to as role models, you know, and it's neat that they, you know, young girls and, you know, can have someone like that to look up to. They don't necessarily have to look up to the NBA guys and something like that. They can look up to an Aaliyah Boston or whomever they choose as their favorite player and say, you know, I want to be like her.
Brad Moeller, voice of the Gamecocks, 11:42, the day before tip, 5 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN, but also, of course, available on the Gamecock Sports Network. So, by the way, to fill in the gaps, since you mentioned UConn's last national championship, there have been five different national champions of women's basketball, including the Gamecocks. They're two or three, depending on how you look at it, which has definitely been great for the sport as it has continued to grow. To this team specifically, to win another one, I was looking at Diana's notes this morning that she sent us. This is astounding. Like, you don't see this in the men's game. You mentioned all the reasons why Carolina is better than this team and that team, more talented, whatever it is, been there, done that. They also are deeper, and the bench scores 34.1 points per game. But in the tournament, Brad, led by Malaysia Fulwiley and Chloe Kitts, they're averaging 47 points from their bench. That is unheard of. And it's going to continue to be critical as they attempt to win another national championship.
Yeah, and they, again, that's just another example of how this team can wear you down because, you know, you got your starting five that, you know, they can punch you in the mouth, or even if they don't have their best stuff, they keep you in the game. And then when the other team has to go to their bench, there's not too many people that, you know, South Carolina is not going to have a drop-off when they go to their bench, where other teams might have that drop-off even if they're just subbing a couple players out for, you know, 2 minutes to get to the next media break or whatever. They're going to have that drop-off, and South Carolina normally doesn't. And so far in the NCAA tournament, sometimes because of need, because of certain circumstances, the lineup's been different. You know, the first game, not that South Carolina was in danger of losing the first game by any means against Presbyterian, but you started a couple of kids that had only started two or three games all season long, and they performed great. And then in the second game, you're back to your more of your normal starting lineup. Ashlyn Watkins was actually in the lineup there, usually coming off the bench. And Chloe Kitts, who had been a starter most of the year, is coming off the bench, but she's not sitting and pouting about it. She's putting up, you know, terrific numbers as well. So she's been able to interchange the lineup a little bit, and it doesn't seem to matter. That this group seems to be okay with whatever their role is, whether they're starting or coming off the bench, because if you look at it all season long, even the bench kids are playing about as many minutes as the starters. So it doesn't really matter, other than the fact you're not getting your name called, you know, at the beginning. But, you know, there's only 10 people on this roster, and almost every game, all 10, or, you know, sometimes just 9, are playing, and they're all playing significant minutes.
Brad, they've once again dominated the first couple of rounds of this thing, but it has looked significantly different, at least in my view, than the first two rounds that they went through last year. Could you compare and contrast this program entering the Sweet 16 in 24 versus how they entered it in 23?
You know, it's funny because it's such a totally different team because of, again, last year graduating all five starters, that I wasn't sure what to expect in the second round. I knew South Carolina wouldn't have a problem in the first round. In the second round, I wasn't sure what to expect because in years past, the second round is sometimes where we've had one of our tougher games. In 2017, when they won it all, their toughest game that year was the second round. They had to come from behind in the fourth quarter to beat Arizona State. This year, you're playing a North Carolina team that gave them a great game up in Chapel Hill back in November. I think South Carolina trailed by 11 at one point in that game and came back and won. So the way South Carolina came out was truly impressive. I mean, they scored 56 points in the first half and it was over. Everybody knew it was over. So I try not to look too much at, you know, last year, just because this team is so different. I don't know the right word to articulate it. The last year's team, that group that was together for 4 years for the most part, was so businesslike and professional in everything they did. And I think sometimes that could also caused stress because they were so businesslike and professional, where this team is, I don't want to say they're unprofessional because that's not the right word, but they're just different. They're more loose. They're relaxed, and they seem to have a lot more fun during pregame. And coach just lets them be them, and they just go on about their business, and it's, you know, business is good right now. So it's been fun to watch. It's such a polar opposite though of everything about this team compared to teams from the last couple of years, just in personality and how they carry themselves. It's just night and day, but the results are the same.
Boy, are they. They still haven't lost this year. They thumped North Carolina in a rematch, as you pointed out, and potentially, and they'll know before they tip off tomorrow, they could have another rematch because Notre Dame and Oregon State will be, I think, tipping off at 2:10 or something like that tomorrow afternoon. Mm-hmm. And that's in that 2-3 matchup. Gamecocks beat Notre Dame by 29 to open the year. So if they get them again, we'll see what it looks like there. Well, before we let you run, you mentioned a couple of key players for Indiana. Obviously, with the size down low, Camilla Cardoso is going to have her hands full tomorrow. Malaysia Fulwiley continues to be a highlight reel in college basketball. She's got a bunch of big NIL deals now, which is really, really neat to see. But give us a couple of other key matchups and key players to keep an eye on in this one tomorrow.
I think if for South Carolina, you always have to see what Ashlyn Watkins is going to do for you, whether she's starting or coming off the bench, because she's such a matchup nightmare, because she's got good size at 6'3", and she can run the floor, and she can she can shoot the mid range, and she can drive to the basket, and she can dunk on you. I mean, she can do a little bit of everything. So to me, it's how much of a factor she is, and then the other part of it, it's just the simple basic stuff. You got to hit open shots. Against North Carolina, the Gamecocks were killing it. I think they were 8 for 10 from 3-point range in the first half because they were getting good looks and they were knocking them down. And so if South Carolina can continue to hit from the perimeter, that loosens things up inside. A lot of teams like to pack it in and try to take away Camilla when she's in there. But if you've got the 3-point shooters knocking down shots or the others, hitting the mid range, then you got to loosen up a little bit because you got to guard them a little bit better on the outside, and then boom, you got Camilla open inside. So there's the simple things there, but I always like to see how people are going to match up with the likes of Ashlyn Watkins, just because she is so athletic, and there's just not a lot of people that can match up with her size and speed wise. You might have a big girl, but she might have her feet in cement, and she can blow right past her. So I always like to see what Ashlyn can do against teams that are unlike what we play. Indiana isn't like a lot of teams that we're going to play because of the multiple shooters they have. I'm just hoping that South Carolina has the better athletes that can, get a little bit quicker and get around them.
2:30 is that tip tomorrow. I think Carolina leaves the hotel at 2:10. I think I had those times. So are they going, they're going to go to the arena. Are they going to watch this game first?
Yeah, they'll probably watch parts. I know the coaches will be there to scout, of course. They'll probably be at least watching part of it before they go back in the locker room and do all their stretching stuff. I know I'll be there just to enjoy, a couple of good teams when their good players aren't doing stuff to our team. It's one thing I love about tournaments is watching the other games, because you don't care if, Angel Reese is scoring 30 points because she's not doing it to you. you want to watch the other teams and marvel at the good players. It's a lot more fun when they're not playing you. So yeah, they'll watch a little bit of it just so they can put faces with numbers in their scouting report and things like that.
All right. Well, we have
Brad.
Yeah.
Can we just, before we sign off, can we put something to rest? Every time you come on this show, I see it in chat row, and I've been asked the question,
we are not related.
If we have to go on Maury Povich and take a DNA test, we will. Can you confirm we are not brothers? We are not related.
We are not related. Nowhere close. We just happened at one point. We worked at the same school together. Yeah, that's it.
Thankfully, you're wearing glasses, because otherwise, yeah.
There we go.
Now everybody's going to be accused. We're not related.
I'm the older brother. I got all this. The gray.
You got. Well, my waistline's got up two sizes, so I don't know if that's a good thing either. But we can confirm not related. Yep. However, we both outkicked our coverage in the wife department. I've met your lovely bride multiple times. I can't share the story on the whole background on that. I don't want to take any more of your time, but when you sign off, can I tell our audience that, or is that kind of personal? Okay, I won't tell the story.
We may have to talk about that a little bit more.
Let's just say it was a heck of a path Brad had to meet his lovely bride.
Because there are children involved now.
I got you. Fair enough. It's an awesome story. Maybe I'll tell these fine gentlemen.
Off the air, that would be fine.
Fair enough. But in conclusion, we're not related. No. We both are fine human beings and pillars of our respective communities. But Brad Muller and Mike Morgan, there is no relation. Let's put it to bed right now.
Yep, we're done.
I'm glad we did that. There will still be, and there will always be somebody who shows up in the chat box somewhere that asks that question because
every
they
time.
Missed this. Yeah,
every
there will
time
always be somebody. So next time Brad's on, or Mike, or both of you are on, just put that in your little. Can't you put that under your name on the little thing?
Brad Muller, not related to Mike.
No relation.
To quote Gump, "We are not relations, sir.
We are not relations. We are not relations."
Hey, Brad, give us a quick scouting report in the food department up there. Mike gives us something every time he travels. What anything good in Albany? What are they known for? Anything?
There's a plaque for Herman Melville, the author here. Apparently, he lived here for some time. But food wise,
whale. You're gonna eat whale? Yeah,
call me a right. I don't know. But the food wise, so far I just ate. We got here yesterday. Ate at the hotel. Last night I found a place place that serves beverages. So those were fine. There was actually a place called Dawn's Victory Cafe and Sports Ooh. Bar. So I'm hoping that's a good sign.
There you go.
Hey, Dawn's, huh? You don't say.
Yeah.
I was going to throw this out here later because, Brad, you're, like you said, you're a little bit older. Do you recognize the movie behind me? Do you see my...
Oh, yeah, Vision Quest.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I expected. Yes. That's a dimer for somebody who chatted in chat row earlier. But also, I'm going to throw this out later because I mentioned I tried to get through the new Roadhouse.
Why did they remake Roadhouse?
It's awful. That. And Gyllenhaal is... it's not good.
No, every Patrick Swayze movie, they've done it. Point Break, it sucked. Red Dawn sucked. Ghost is next.
Don't do it. You can never do Point Long Break. Fu? Yeah.
Two more hours of Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah. How could that go wrong? Yeah. Did you see the original Roadhouse? Is that a fiver or a dimer for you? How many times have you seen that one?
Oh, gosh. More than a dimer. Yeah, that's one of the movies that I'll quote from endlessly.
Maybe we are brothers. Maybe we are related. We just don't know any better. But you've got good
taste. Just become best friends?
Hug it out.
Bill, we're going to find out when we sign off. And Brad's like, all right, Mike, say hi to Mom for me.
That's right.
Your mother. Whoops. I gotta go. We gotta get out of here. Well, hey man, looking very much forward to the call. You are a pro. There is no doubt about that, and it makes it so enjoyable to listen to South Carolina basketball with your voice attached to it. Thank you so much for what you do, and always thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Mike. Good to see you again.
Same to you, Brad.
See you, bro.
Take care. See you, brother.
That is amazing. I love it. I do have a friend.
Call Mom. Don't forget to call Mom.
I have a friend like that who we met in Colombia. Now we're both in Atlanta. And he's actually Serbian. And I mean, everywhere we went, people thought we were friggin' brothers, to the point where we just call each other brother now. But I didn't initially see the resemblance, quite frankly, with Brad, but apparently a number of people have and have asked me about this since he started coming on this show. So I felt like I had to confirm, Maury Povich style. The 23andMe has just been FedExed, and we can confirm we are not related. So, and we can also confirm we both have the same taste in movies because he recognized Vision Quest. That's the elephant in the room. That is Vision Quest behind me, which is an absolute dimer. Jamie, you might be a little young for this one, but I would encourage you.
I've never seen it.
Much like All the Right Moves, we've got to just get you a week where you watch nothing but 80s classics. All the Right Moves, Vision Quest.
The way that I'm feeling right now, I might be doing that tomorrow, waiting for basketball to start.
That's acceptable. Tomorrow would be a great day to do it.
Yeah. Great day. Good Friday.
Yes.
All right. It's 11:56. It's time to step aside. But good news, we're not going anywhere. We're just going to break. We'll be back. This happens every day. At noon, or coming up here just a little bit, we've got our drive around the SEC, right?
Love Chevy.
Golden Tones.
That's right.
Love Chevy drive around the SEC.
John Strickland joins us at 1. We've got a preview of Thank God Baseball. What are in the Love Chevy driving around here?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. All this segment really is missing, Jamie, for my money, is a masterful tease. So perhaps maybe I could find one, I don't know, somewhere around, how about this one? Coming up after the break, how dominant will the SEC be in the NFL draft? Ooh. There are two left standing in the madness from the Southeastern Conference and one metric where Gamecock baseball excels the most. It's all coming up next on the Love Chevy drive around the SEC.
I knew any better than that.
That's how you do it right there.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company, Gamecock, owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in, because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, the heart issue that, ultimately let a Big Ten stop. And originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring, and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Drive around the SEC.
Sponsored by Love Chevrolet. No hassles, no all-day runarounds, no ridiculous add-on stickers. At Love Chevy, buying a car is fun. South Carolina's number one volume Chevy dealer. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Find new roads.
Brought to you by Love Chevy. Act now for spectacular savings on the best selection of new Chevys. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
Nice work. Stuck the landing there. And there comes the music. That is what we call smooth production here for the Love Chevy Drive around the SEC. We haven't talked a lot of football here lately, right? I mean, we've talked about Gamecock spring practice somewhat, and we'll get more into that. I was listening to you guys talk about Nick Harbor a bit yesterday with my toes in the sand, mind you. But I want to talk a little NFL draft. We are 1 month away from the NFL draft. So if I were to ask you guys, you very wise football savants, of the top 50 players projected to go, and I'm going on Matt Miller here. I think Matt Miller does as good a job as anybody. We know about Mel Kiper and Todd McShay there was on the mothership for quite a bit of time back in the day. But if I were to ask you how many from the SEC, and I'm going to include Texas and Oklahoma because they're basically in the SEC now, how many of the top 50 players drafted are projected to be from the Southeastern Conference? Jamie, I'll start with you. Closest to the pin.
How many? I missed part of the question. Sorry,
You're battling some pollen. You got some?
I caught some sickness yesterday. It sucks. But anyway, I heard part of it.
Yeah. How many of the top 50 players expected to go? This is according to Matt Miller, although a lot of people
15,
would.
15, right?
Top 50. How many of the 50? Top 50? 50.
Okay.
Good or 50, as the kids like to say. How many of the top 50 will be selected from SEC schools, including Texas and Oklahoma?
Probably close to 40%.
Hey, so I'm going to go with
18. Let's go with
18. 18. Mad Dog Phil, what are you thinking over there?
Give me 27.
27. Ooh, ambitious.
That's a big number.
Sherb Nation donning a sweatshirt because he's in a really cold climate in the Midwest.
Yeah, on opening day for Major League Baseball.
Yeah. It's not too late to move, JC. We'll welcome you back here in the South.
Yeah, we'd love it. Do it. Do it.
No, talk to me about that, guys. Yeah, especially I know. In the spring. There's no spring here.
Yeah.
None. It won't get warm until May now. I'm going to go with like 22, double deuce. How about that? Somewhere kind of in the middle of filling.
JC is closest to the pin. It's 21.
Wow. I was going to say
21.
I deducted. I'll stick with my 40%. JC and I, can I share that with you? Can I share the title?
JB wins on Price is Right rules.
That's true.
Yeah, Price.
We don't
is right
go over. I said closest win. To the pin. I didn't go overbidding situation.
Come on down.
Hey, this game sucks.
Okay,
spin
so
the
we
wheel, JB. A new car. Rigged.
They talked about this on JC and Morgan. No, I'm kidding.
So who are these chaps? Well, Matt Miller, who again I think does outstanding work. He just signed on with ESPN a couple of years ago. I used to follow him before that. When he's kind of doing an independent deal with this, he's got Jaden Daniels going to Washington. Malik Nabers has been skyrocketing. He's got him number six, a wide receiver at LSU, going to the Giants. Dallas Turner. This is like the most consensus pick. If you were going to Vegas and you wanted to bet on the surefire, other than Caleb Williams, number one to the Bears, the surefire top 10 pick that everybody thinks is going to happen, especially now that Kirk Cousins has signed with Atlanta, they all think Dallas Turner, rush end out of Alabama, goes eight to the Falcons. Brock Bowers, number 10 to the Jets. Brian Thomas, another LSU wide receiver, to Arizona, 12. And it goes down the list and down the list. He has got, Mike, what about Xavier Leggett? 33 to the Carolina Panthers, first pick of the second round. So he would join Jadeveon Clowney. Who just signed with the Carolina Panthers for an organization that has done nothing to reach out to the state of South Carolina. Maybe they could just keep bringing in former Gamecock players and try and bridge that gap. What else we got here? Okay, so you'll recognize some other names. Remember Ricky Pearsall?
Oh, yeah.
Receiver that torched 49 to the Bengals. So they've got, he's got him in the second
what,
round.
Mike? What did he torch? Who'd he torch?
He torched a 6'4" guy that never should have been covering a man to man. So Spencer Rattler, he's got Spencer Rattler going pick number 103 to the New England Patriots, which would be in the fourth round. Top of the fourth round. Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett's now their starting quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean, they desperately need a quarterback. Now, the thinking is New England might take a quarterback at 3.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would be good for Spencer or not. But as we've talked about on this show before, if you're not going to go first round and kind of get the big signing bonus money, your money's coming on that second contract. I think what would be best for Spencer Rattler is to go to a good team without a good quarterback.
Right.
Forget about what round it is. Second round, fourth round, fifth round, third, whatever. That's what you want. If that's the calculus, the perfect calculus for Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lloyd, former Gamecock back, they've got him going pick 107 to the Giants in the fourth round. Remember Cody Schrader?
Yeah.
He led the SEC in rushing. They've got him going in the sixth round, pick number 200. Again, he's a former walk-on, D2 transfer. He's not that fast. He's not that big. He just dominated. Sixth-round pick for a guy that led the SEC in rushing. I thought that was interesting. And one other Gamecock he has going in the seventh round. You guys want to predict who that would be?
I guess Trey Knox or Marcellus Dial.
Trey Knox it is. Seventh round, pick number 252. To the Kansas City Chiefs.
We need to get him bumped back to Mr. Irrelevant. That would be the third Mr. Irrelevant in South Carolina history.
Yes.
And the second to go to the Chiefs because Suckup was Chiefs' original pick.
Boy, did they get their money's worth out of that pick.
Brian and then Justice Cunningham, right? Wasn't Justice Cunningham Mr.
Justice
Irrelevant?
Was Mr. Irrelevant. It actually made a roster with the Colts for a year, special teams player, and then Suckup ended up kicking for the Bucks during pandemic year where they won it all with Brady. And Ryan Suckup had a great. I remember when they people don't realize this because Suckup came in under Spurrier, but Holtz got him to commit. And they said Holtz is a visit. I tell you, you're the best place kicker I've ever seen in my life. You're better than Reggie Ho. Anybody remember Reggie Ho?
Reggie Ho. I like Reggie Ho. He was there for nine years.
Those people, we had another name. You're outstanding.
Was he at a Hickory, North Carolina?
Where was he at? North Carolina.
It was Hickory? Okay.
Hickory High School, Hickory, North Carolina.
It's the same hometown as Rick Barnes.
And Brad Lawing as well.
Speaking of which, as we turn to basketball, two SEC teams left tonight at 9:39 tip. Bama taking on UNC. The Tar Heels are in a 4.5-point favorite. Mm. And then on Friday at 10:09 Eastern time, for insomniacs like myself, Tennessee taking on the Creighton Blue Jays. Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite. Still my pick as the one SEC team to make it to the Final Four. Any thoughts on those two matchups, fellas?
Well, I concur with you on Tennessee going to the Final Four. I picked that.
You got that one in the.
I'm taking my bracket. I hope North Carolina wins, but who cares?
When I look at those two matchups, it's like one of them. It's like you've got to hope. I think Tennessee's a very good shooting team. I don't think they're a great shooting team. I think you have to hope Creighton's off a little bit or guard them and make them be off, and then hope connecting, and you're not having one of those off Tennessee shooting nights. Because, man, Creighton, they'll just sit there and throw it around the perimeter and just jack it up. All of a sudden, one of those little guys gets a – you can't give those little dudes any space. They will destroy you.
They're so well coached. And
yes.
Again,
I mean, good Lord.
McDermott's outstanding. They should have been in the Final Four last year. They got hosed on a call late against San Diego State. And that was the difference.
And they're due, and you know, but we'll see what happens. Tennessee certainly has better athletes. And they could win, but a lot has to go their way. With Alabama, I don't know if Alabama's even on from the field. That if they don't play defense, there's no way they're beating North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina's just – they've done the same system for 50 years, and it's proven, and they're going to get up and down the court, and they're going to be athletic and shoot and run secondary breaks on you. And if you don't guard them, you score 90, they'll score 100. So I think Alabama's in a precarious situation if they don't decide to play. They don't play defense, which in a lot of games this year they have not.
Yeah, I don't even think it's Nate Oates' best team, but no. He hadn't been to the Elite Eight yet, so maybe this is the chance that they go. I mean, you think about it, Tennessee and Alabama have had some really good teams, really good players, really good years. Neither one has ever been to a Final Four.
Yeah.
Neither one. So
we talked about it with Wimp Sanderson today. We talked about it today. The fact that the SEC probably historically after Kentucky, going back to like the 50s when the league formed, Tennessee and Alabama are probably the second and third best programs in the league. If you give them a history.
That's right. Oh, no question.
But yet Auburn, South Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Florida all have been the Final Fours.
Well, the last two Final Four teams from the SEC are Auburn and South Carolina.
Yeah.
That is just a – that's a weird, weird look. Speaking of a weird look, did you catch any of the Mitch Barnhart, John Calipari kind of sit-down meeting of the minds? It was broadcasted on live TV. It was really awkward, honestly, because there's been discussion that those two don't get along. There's been discussion that Kentucky – boosters are trying to pony up $33 million to move on from Cal. There's been discussion that the fan base is just tired of this. Well, he's coming back, and it was kind of a kumbaya situation. It'd be like if Mike McGee and Eddie Fogler did that toward the end of the Fogler era and said, you know what, we actually do like each other, and Eddie's coming back, damn it. I'm all in on this. It would be a little bit awkward. All right, finally, we always talk about baseball polls. And, you know, D1 baseball has kind of become the poll of record. But it might be time to start thinking a little bit about RPI, because RPI does play a factor, just like it does in basketball with the net, in college baseball. So RPI number one right now, Jamie, I don't know if you took a gander at this.
Well, I mean, it is. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of WarrenNolan.com.
That's basically the RPI, but you can get it on D1Baseball.com as well. But yeah. Warren Nolan kind of cracked the RPI code, if you will.
Yeah.
So he's got Clemson 1 with a strength of schedule of 3, Florida State 2, Arkansas 3, Oregon State, North Carolina, UCF, and at number 7, South Carolina. So the RPI is South Carolina's friend. Unlike the net in basketball, this is a metric you can all embrace. JC, I want you to wrap your arms and give a big hug to the RPI in college baseball. South Carolina is 7th at 20-5 overall, a strength of schedule of 30th. They actually went up 18 spots in the RPI after sweeping the Vanderbilt Commodores. Georgia is 8 in RPI. A&M is 9. Tennessee, 12. Ole Miss, 13. Kentucky, 14. Florida, 17. Yes. In terms of SEC teams and the RPI. And that is your Love Chevy drive around the SEC. Maestro, take it away.
Brought to you by Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
Let's drive. Yeah. Last year, I mean, in addition to the fact that the Gamecocks had a great season, I mean, they had injuries that hurt them towards the end of the year, as we all well know. But that RPI is what got them the top 16 national seed. That's the reason they were able to host as a 15. Their RPI was, I think, right around 10 somewhere. It was up there. And you couldn't keep them out. I mean, there was just the metrics were too good for Mark Kingston's club, and here they are again.
How many SEC tournament games did Carolina have last year? Do you remember? Three.
Didn't they win one
and two.
They won no more than one.
Okay. You'd have 33 conference games, 3 games against Clemson. Who was their best?
North Carolina. Midweek. Yep. And then they played Penn. They played Penn in a 3-game series week and
Penn
two.
Went to a super.
And Penn went to a super. Penn was a high RPI team for most of the year. And then there was some other team they played like in a 3-game series that ended up having like an abnormally high RPI, and I don't remember who it was.
See, this is where SEC baseball.
Well, they swept Florida, remember?
Yeah,
last year, and they beat LSU.
Yeah, right. They were 4-4-1 combined against Florida and LSU in the regular season.
But they played just enough quality non-cons to really the RPI is going to be their friend in basketball. This is why I think the league needs to go to 20 conference games. That's two more net builders as opposed to playing Charleston Southern, no disrespect, and Longwood. You'd rather play 20 conference games. It might mean you take one more loss, but as we've learned, a loss can actually help you in the net more than beating a god-awful team.
It's crazy too, because I think the SEC did schedule a little bit better in November for a while when they first started moving. I mean, I still think college basketball should not start until after Thanksgiving. That's agreed to me, because you have a whole month of November where you have a full slate of games, basically, and nobody's paying attention.
I think the whole calendar's off. I don't think baseball should be starting in February.
It's crazy. And I think what happened, Mike, was they were scheduling okay, but, you know, you schedule that mid-major. Well, look, these guys are going to be a top 150 team. So it's instead of a quad four, it's going to be a quad three for us, or you schedule them on a neutral court. And they end up beating you by 20 because there's 500 people in the gym, and 250 of them are listening to the coach's call-in show for football around the SEC. Nobody gives a fiddler's foo about basketball at all, even Thanksgiving stretching it. So I think that's a big problem. So what do you do? What do you do? I think you either take your team on the road to a tournament like Lamont did to Arizona or down to Puerto Rico or whatever to get that challenge, because that's a different environment. Or you maybe just take the win, because we've seen it happen both ways here, where Frank Martin lost games he shouldn't, and that cost them, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know what the deal is there. But
playing Stetson can hurt you. It can't help you, as evidence of what happened.
You got to figure it out. I think there's some kind of – and then with the transfer portal, you know, you're supposed to be scheduling teams next year. It's impossible to say who's going to be good and who's not. You may put a team on the schedule that – lucks out and gets a bunch of transfers and comes in and shoots you out of the gym. And you're like, well, I thought they were supposed to be terrible. You know, why'd we pay them however $100,000 to come play? You know, I would not want to be a bad, they don't, let me put it this way. They do not want to ask me about how to schedule basketball, because I don't think any of them would agree with me at all based on what they've been doing.
That's a good point. Quick note on baseball, by the way, and we will preview the Carolina series, but there are six former Gamecocks on opening day rosters, and if you have YouTube TV, you can watch none of them. Jordan Montgomery and Christian Walker, of course, are in Arizona. Clark Schmidt is in New York. Witt is up in Philly. Jonah Bride in Miami, and Carmen Majewski out there in Pittsburgh.
Hey, I'm glad Witt's in Philly. I get it. Most of our audience, like us, Braves fans, and it's the hated Phillies that have pretty much been poison in the opening round the last 2 years, derailing Braves' good time seasons. However, when he was in Kansas City and Toronto, you barely got to see Witt. I go to a lot of Braves games. I will get to see Witt in person and maybe even say hello to Witt, which I haven't done in quite some time. So I think that's cool. You know, they'll play the Phillies a bunch of times this year, and a bunch of those will be in Atlanta. So I'm glad to see Witt. He's got to be near the end of his career. He's certainly had a successful career. He's going to be eligible for every pension award and everything else. Don't know how many more years he has left. Hope he has 10 more. But I'm glad that he's in the National League, and in the National League East in particular.
It's hard to believe he's been in the big leagues for – over a decade. I mean,
I remember when he first came to Carolina, his father, I believe his dad is Bill Merrifield, and Bill was a minor leaguer, played at Wake Forest, was a great player in college at Wake, and he would come into the box into our booth when Tommy and I were calling games. Of course, I didn't mind. Like, yeah, come on, make yourself at home. Yeah. And whenever Witt was at the plate, his dad, I could feel him over my shoulder as I'm calling the pitches. And his dad is like, he's got both hands, you know, he's got his stance going. He's like, oh, Witt, you got to barrel that. Yeah. Yeah. Don't buckle on the breaking ball. Like he was such a coaching dad every time Witt came to the plate. And I had a bird's eye view of it right over my shoulder every time. He traveled on the road. He went to games. He was always around.
Oh, yeah.
When Witt was playing ball, just a super guy. And that's where Witt certainly gets a lot of his genes, his baseball genes from. His dad was a heck of a baseball player back in the day.
Yeah, and his mom, Miss Sissy. I mean, they're good people. I mean, they're good people. There are some tough, and there were back then too, some tough parents of players. But the Merrifields, they weren't one of them, Mike.
We want names, Jamie. No. Don't just throw that out there with a juicy tease. Throw out some names.
No.
There's always probably nothing. Name a few.
Well, I guarantee you can name the first one that comes up from that era every time.
Every time.
But, you know, anyways.
Everybody knows their son should be playing more. It's not their fault when they, you know, actually, like, dad's like, Witt's dad, who actually play the game at a high level. They don't do that.
No,
they don't blame coaches. They tell their son, you got to be better. It's the dads and the moms who, you know, I'm not critical. Like, it's their boy. Like, that's their love. It's their, incontrovertible love for their son who can do no wrong. And when things don't go well, then very often it's somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
That's how Jeff Cisco was. I mean, and, you know, Keith Smoke. I mean, those guys, they didn't get in the middle of Coach Tanner and those guys. They
not at all.
Stayed back and let them coach.
Absolutely.
But, absolutely. I mean, they'd yell at umpires. Jeff would yell at umpires. That was funny. Those were good
dudes. Come now, Blue. Come now, Blue.
They shouldn't have been standing there. I'm like, Jeff, Mike hit him in the hip. I don't think there's anything he can do about that. He didn't get out of the way.
Don't ask JC about Brandon McElwain's mom. I already know JC's feelings about Brandon McElwain's mom. I don't go there because I know JC's hot buttons and that.
That got me going. I was in a bad mood the other day. Yesterday until that set me off.
We were just rolling right along. You showed up. Let me tell you something, Craig, you son of a bitch. You better get the hell out of this chat box, Clint. Clint, I hope you get a flat tire on the way to work today. Bird, fly away, Bird.
Clint and Craig are my boys. I would never wish that. But, yeah, I was a little hot. And then, sure enough, somebody comes up and brings up the quarterback gate from 2016 and how it somehow ended up involving me. For no reason. And,
well,
I mean, I didn't have a daily show or anything back then, man. I just kind of wrote. And
you're so right, JC, about so many. When you hear that a kid, he's going to play football and baseball. Yeah. They say it like it's nothing because they were great high school players. And 99% of the time, it doesn't happen. The only guy that I did in my time doing Gamecock games that could absolutely have excelled at both sports had he chosen to stay with it was Sheldon Brown.
Absolutely.
Sheldon Brown.
He runs a great program now up in Rock Hill, by the way.
Big
baseball guy.
And he's such a – and we need to get Sheldon on the show. We'll get Sheldon on the show. I've been friends with him.
Get him in here, Mike, and ask him, why is your boy going to Clemson? Is that Coach Tanner's fault? Let's ask him.
Yeah, I have no idea, but we'll have him on. We were in Greenville. He hit an oppo taco on a ball that was probably 9 inches off the plate. He still just muscled it over the porch. So what happened with Sheldon's baseball career? Sheldon didn't just like quit out of the blue, and Lou Holtz and the football staff didn't encourage him to just quit. We were in Gainesville, and he had appendicitis.
Yeah,
he had to have an appendectomy at Shands Hospital in Gainesville in the middle of a road trip, and we never saw him again. And unfortunately, just as someone who loved watching a great athlete perform, I would have loved to have seen Sheldon. Sheldon would have been a two-sport star at Carolina. There's no doubt about in my mind about that. But you know, then the draft, obviously, they started telling him you're going to be a first, second-round pick. And he had a great NFL career. He did the right thing. But man, oh man. Of all the guys who think they can be good at both sports at this level, the SEC level, he was definitely one that could have pulled it off.
You're right. I think baseball is actually his first love, but he played football. But I'm pretty sure he's really a baseball. I mean, he loves baseball.
So, and he was on a good Carolina team, too. It was 0-1. That was a good Carolina baseball team.
Carolina football team, too.
One game shy of Omaha.
That football team, actually, he saved the day in Tampa. I'll never forget that day.
He's the answer of a trivia question. He's one of, I think, two players to ever have two interceptions against Clemson in a game.
Yeah, yep. That's a good point. That's a great point.
Not a bad day.
That second outback bowl, I learned the Ohio State fight song that day. you'd been to two straight outback bowls, and the colors in that stadium are the Tampa red, and the Gamecocks are garnet, and you got the scarlet from so the crowd sort of all blended in. And keep in mind, that's when this bowl game sold out. And so you'd sat through four quarters of domination, and it was Carolina, and then Carolina's up 28-0 in outback bowl part two, and you're just kind of sitting there going, I don't see any Ohio State fans here. Oh, well, wait a minute. that Craig Krenzel, I think, led a comeback. And they come marching back, and they go, dun, da, dun, da, dun, 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 dun. And their band played their fight song over and over, six, like, Waffle House hash browns different ways, like 75 different ways. Just the timpanis now. Boom, 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 boom. And they marched all the way back and tied the game at 28. Carolina couldn't stop them. They couldn't move the ball. And then I think Phil Petty completes a long pass to Gauls, and they set up Daniel Weaver's winner at the end. But that day I learned the Ohio State fight song big time.
Just enough leg for Daniel Weaver.
Yeah, Lou Holtz's book. He's like, Daniel Weaver lined up to kick the ball, and I thought about my dad and growing up in East Liverpool, Ohio, and I thought about Woody Hayes, and I thought about those great Ohio State teams in the past who coached the Buckeyes and the Scarlet and Gray, and the ball went end over end over end. It finally went through, we won. That's how the book starts. And if you read it in Lou Holtz's voice, it's better. Better than reading it and like having some reader read it. But anyway, all right. So I got some women's basketball research I want to talk about.
How about a break first?
We got to hit a break.
I know we're hitting a break. I just said after the break. Guys.
After the break.
We've still got to get to our series preview with the Gamecocks and the Tide tonight and elsewhere around the SEC as well. The national anthem is at noon every day, and it's proudly presented by our friends at Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com. I actually did one of those turkey loins yesterday in the oven and first seasoned it with the secret spice rub. Kids eat it every time. It's such a trick. Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com, CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com to have your secret spice rub and the sweet heat and the Carolina gold. And I talked to Mr. Bill this week, guys. How about this? For all of you that live in South Carolina, for all of you that have a Food Lion nearby, this summer, it will be in every Food Lion across the state of South Carolina. The official barbecue of the Gamecocks, barbecue sauce and Food Lion, the official barbecue of us here on ITG, Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up a screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Brewer. His second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer, turns the corner, touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service, second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina, and we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product, and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man,
The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
What's up to the best fans in the country? This is Eli Jones, and you're tuned in to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Go Cocks.
It is 12:34 Inside the Gamecocks. The show is built by the Barndo Co. and always powered by our friends at Electric Bikes of Charleston, electricbikescharleston.com. Holy smokes, what a weekend. Easter weekend. 70 and sunny tomorrow, 75 and sunny Saturday, 80 and sunny Sunday. Doesn't get any better than that, Mad Dog.
No, no, no. That's what we're waiting on here.
Yeah.
This is gonna be spectacular. Get back to normal. Tired of all the damn rain.
Yep. Get your e-bike.
Chicago.
E-bike. Get going. E-bike. Get going. Wonder how many folks will do Easter dinner and then try to get down to the beach or something around here on Easter Sunday.
Yeah. I don't know. Be a good time to get out, though. I know we, you know, with Good Friday off tomorrow, we've got, I think my little one's got a doctor's appointment, but after that, we're looking to get out of the house some, so it'll be nice. Oh, and by the way, happy birthday to my dad.
Oh wait!
Yes, Mr. Molinex.
You've hijacked this whole week for birthdays. Yesterday was Dina's, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I tell you what, the end of March is big for us. So yeah, Dina's yesterday. My father is today, and my youngest daughter's is Sunday. So 27, 28, 31, all Molinex birthdays.
Oh man! All right, well get them all in. Yeah, do you have anybody else? Any neighbors or any? Bar patrons, anybody you know, go ahead and get it out now. Phil Rock,
my brother Cam is Saturday.
Cam
in there.
All right, gotta get Cam in there. Saturday. Yeah, anybody have a bar mitzvah this week?
Silent assassin,
a bris. my neighbor Louie, he's got a boy, he's getting a bris on Wednesday.
Oh,
shout out to Louie and his boy.
That's right, painful. Or I'm thinking of something else.
Is Mad Dog Phil's dad not as intimidating as Mad Dog Phil? I'm picturing like a cop, a member of the SWAT team.
Oh, that's funny.
You don't want to mess with.
My father, as he has aged, is essentially the spitting image of Willie Nelson at this point. Long hair. I mean, yeah, just looks just like Willie. Yeah.
Was he an extra in the movie Roadhouse?
No. No, but
is he related to Wade Garrett?
Yeah, that's right.
Does he act like Willie?
Amy,
that's not fair. That's not...
All right, well, we teased JC's report here. JC, what do you got?
I thought we were going to do the baseball preview first.
Oh, I thought that was
scheduled.
Okay.
It got handed down from the stone tablets on Mount Sinai this morning. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, you do realize somebody around here has to keep this train on the track.
I'm trying to be a team player here.
I thought that JC's tease was going to lead us into JC's segment.
Mike, he teased the third coming segment.
Oh, okay.
Coming up in about 14.
Yeah, coming up. I'm like, it's like Buck and Baloo. Remember I used to listen to Buck and Baloo when I lived in Gainesville 22 years ago.
Buck and Kincaid,
hey, it's Tommy. And this is before the internet. So it would drive me crazy because, you know, you listen to those shows for, like, information. Hey, yeah. Tommy Bowden maybe going to Clemson, Kincaid? I don't know. Buck Baloo. We'll talk about it soon.
That then, show was
an hour later. Hey, what about Tommy to Clemson? That's exactly how Buck Baloo sounds. Hey, it's like kind of like a Snagglepuss, but not. Hey, babe, I'm here. I'm Buck Baloo.
I've worked with,
and they never get to it.
No, well, I mean, Kincaid's a radio pro who's now doing radio in Philly, and you know, Buck is Buck. I've known Buck for a while. I like him personally. Buck is he's just a different breed. So anyway, Jamie, what do you have?
Well,
where have you?
I'll hold it off till this.
I can next mention break. The Tartan Day South Celtic Festival anytime you boys are ready.
I can do the women's basketball thing. I got the women's basketball thing in front of me. It's evergreen content is what we like to call it.
Yeah, go ahead. This is
I didn't realize just how historic, like relatively speaking, South Carolina's women's program has been. Because I think because of the dominance of Tennessee and because there's been a lot of good basketball programs on the women's side in the SEC, just about everybody's been good at one point. But as far as championship good, do you guys realize that when South Carolina won the national championship in 2017, they were the second SEC program to do so? As members of the SEC? Nobody else had done it. LSU became the third. Now A&M won one as a member of the Big 12. Texas won one. They're coming in as a member of the Southwest Conference in 86. But other than that, South Carolina has been, you know, historically got it. And I don't think we think about that enough. There are only two schools outside of Tennessee and UConn that have won more than two national championships. And that's Baylor and Stanford. And they both have three. So the next one, the Gamecocks win, they're in like rare air. And you contrast it to the men's side, the numbers at the top are about the same. UCLA leads with 11 titles like UConn on the women's, and Kentucky's at 8 like Tennessee is on the women's. But then you have like a North Carolina with 6, blah, 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 going down the list. So I think, you know, you kind of look at it, it's not just that South Carolina is the latest SEC women's program with a good coach to cycle up. What they've done is historic. And you have to think that, you know, the more historically good you are, as the sport continues to grow, the better the chances are that when Dawn Staley does hang it up, you don't go back to being normal. You know what I'm saying? Because you do see kind of Tennessee gradually slipping. I'm sure UConn will possibly slip, but you know, I think South Carolina, you know, maybe that just got lost a little bit, just how historic this run has been, not only in terms of at South Carolina, but in terms of the SEC and the entire sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they certainly have a chance to. I mean, they're not going anywhere. They're going to win more than three national championships as long as Dawn Staley's here, and she's not going anywhere either. Coach Tanner has right, Mike? Made sure of that over the last
five
or 6 years.
She's done what every other coach in her position does. When you have other interests, you jack up the price.
She couldn't be here.
Oh, there's no question. And you know, if your AD is not ready to pony up and do what you got to do, then you lose one of the greatest coaches to come through there. So obviously he took care of that, and I think she's better off for it. It seems like a natural fit. I'd rather be in Columbia, South Carolina than Storrs, Connecticut. I think that's part of the reason why they're winning a whole lot more recruiting battles than they lose. Yeah. I'd rather be there than Waco, Texas.
I don't think she would leave for another women's job. I don't think there's a women's job.
When Virginia was knocking on the door, I think that was a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
Right. Fair. And you got to remember, I mean, there are some ADs out there that really have to focus on the bottom line, where they're not going to lose $5 million just because you're successful in a sport. They're just not willing to do it. So you could argue that it's worth to be in the red to have the national attention that the program gets. I mean, people now know when they hear women's basketball, it used to be your brain would go right to UConn and Tennessee. And now mm-hmm. it goes to South Carolina. And for many, Caitlin Clark, well, Caitlin's going to be gone next year. I don't think you'll see Iowa in another Final Four when she is gone. So it's going to be South Carolina, maybe LSU with Mulkey. And then Tennessee doesn't seem like they're on their way back yet. And clearly Connecticut is not what it used to be. You know, 11 national titles, Geno's going to – there's not a statue big enough for what he did for women's basketball, but clearly they're on the downslope. So it is what it is.
Yeah, they're they are the face, and they ain't going anywhere because they just keep signing the best players. And when you sign the best players in women's college basketball, you're the best team. That's what happens.
That helps. Now you got to bring home the trophy. You got to bring home – you'll call it the fourth. I'll call it the third national title and – further solidify as the D word of dynasty. I don't throw that out there just haphazardly. I think too often it is, but you win three national titles in a span of, I don't know how many years with that.
7 years. It'd be 7 years.
A 3-7.
Three. And then the first place finish with COVID. I, by the way, just for what it's worth, I do not consider them national champions in 2020. I do align myself with we finished ranked number one. I think that's a great way to say that. Let's not be Alabama from the 1940s and start claiming titles.
Or UCF football from a few years ago.
That stuff's embarrassing.
As we learned from last year when Carolina was clearly the number one team in the country, there are no guarantees once you get to the Final Four. It doesn't matter. Everybody can claim whatever they want to claim, but this would officially be her third, and that puts you in rarefied air, as JC mentioned earlier, in terms of all time.
Let me address that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Markquell Blackwell, I know, refused to speak to the media today, or said he wasn't going to decline to speak to the media today. I'm told he may not be feeling well. Guys. So I don't think it's related to the little report over the weekend. You never say never, right? Because I don't think Ohio State's hired anybody. But like I said, I don't think this is necessarily – I mean, maybe, but I don't think it's necessarily a point, you know, him leaving, because I will probably know if he reverses course and gets out the door. Could it be that maybe he doesn't want to be asked that question again because he may be mad because it leaked, did it egg on his face, whatever, or doesn't want to talk about anything like that? And, you know, maybe, but I'm told that not to sweat it. So you guys probably shouldn't want to sweat it either.
Well,
that's a real ooh-wee thing, too. Ooh-wee? Ooh-wee? He's not telling the media. Ooh-wee? Come on, man.
With you guys. Oh, God. I'll tell you what. I'm glad that we cleared that up. You cleared that up, JC. Do you mind?
I've done it three times now.
When we hit a timeout here, do you mind checking in on vacation plans for this staff this summer and –
I will.
The shoe size of the ball boy and just we need to know these. This is important for the future of the program.
Deacon Mills didn't make the first coordinator meeting, so
Marcus Satterfield did it. Brian McClendon did it one time. Steve Spurrier Jr. did it three or four different times. It's pretty common for us to get it. Torian Gray did it last year.
Mm-hmm.
During spring, I think, because we didn't get to talk to Torian until fall. So
Sean Elliott hasn't spoken since he got introduced. I mean,
I think just about everybody.
Wait a second, Phil, you got to be kidding me. I think there's an opening in Ireland too for Irish football. Maybe he's going to go back.
Come over, Sean. We're going to hire the guy that butts the heads.
If he shows up at the Tartan South Celtic Festival, you'll know.
That's right.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
like
keep an eye out for that.
We see him in practice with him. He looked good in a kilt. We do need to get with Sean.
If you see him watching the sheepdog herding contest with JC, then you'll know.
I don't want Sean anywhere near that. He may just quit football and go do tartan games.
Could you imagine him out there doing that throw? What's that throw
called? I don't only see him marching in a kilt.
Oh, that's the caber toss. Phil's all over it.
Throwing the stones and stuff and playing the bagpipes. Could you, dude, I could see Sean Elliott doing that in a heartbeat.
I'll bet
that's no offense to him. I think it's cool as hell.
Well, it is cool as hell, JC, and a perfect segue. You could not have done any better. There's something for the whole family starting Thursday, April the 4th at Steel Hands Brewing, April the 5th at Ice House Amphitheater. You've got a Celtic concert, April the 6th, the main event at Historic Columbia Speedway in Casey. They've been doing it for 12 years in the Midlands, and they get thousands of people to enjoy this. Like, this is just something different. I'm going to a hockey game tonight, a Florida Panthers game. I've never been, so it's outside my comfort zone. I did it in Nashville with the Predators. Loved it. Had a great time. If I was in Columbia, I would definitely be going to this. We gave away 4 tickets the last time. I'll give away another 4 today or this week. If you want to just hit me up on social media, maybe at Morgan on Air on Twitter, or hit me up in the chat box, whatever. We'll give away 4 tickets for that 12th annual Tartan Day South Celtic Festival. Just a whole lot of different stuff, a lot of fun for the entire family, and all starts next Thursday, a week from today. Yeah, today's Thursday, a week from today on April the 4th.
Be here quick. If they really want to market it, they need to get the Gamecock football coaches out there in their kilts.
That would be a good move for sure. Yeah, Shane's got
Joe DeCamillis and Sean Elliott, especially those guys. Yeah, are born to do that stuff.
Sean could flip a large tree 19 feet long, weighing 190 pounds.
So, I think so could Travion Robertson.
Well, yeah.
Oh, God bless.
He could just move the whole tree.
He'd just carry it. Where's this going again, sir? Back to the forest, Travion.
Oh. Hey, do they still have the Florida Panthers? Still have that play-by-play guy that does the movie quotes?
He's now the meatloaf. He scores. Yeah,
what's in the box?
What's in the box? Yeah, the guy's name is Mueller. Something Mueller. I think he's the analyst now. Yeah. I think he's the analyst now.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious. If you want to know what we're talking about, it's on YouTube. They used to have a play-by-play guy. And Dan Le Batard would tell him, I want you to inject the following movie quote into the broadcast. And so he would do it. Somebody would score, and he scores! Hey, you don't look like a clown! You know, just throw random stuff in there. And
Make me a balloon clown!
I would have people say, Mike, and you throw in the word, like, deleterious into the baseball broadcast tomorrow, which every now and then I would do, unbeknownst to many, but I never did movie quotes. Well, maybe a few with Tom Price, but that didn't go over particularly well.
Hey, it was so awesome. He scores, talk to me, Goose. I mean, it was just, and it got funnier and funnier.
In the box?
What's in the box, guy? Because that's from 7, of course.
Brad Pitt and 7. That's Brad Pitt's worst acting ever. His wife's head. Is a spoiler alert, has been decapitated by the serial killer. It's in a box. He opens it up. He sees it. Or no, he doesn't see it yet. Morgan Freeman opens it up, and he can tell he's spooked. And Brad's like, come on, what's in the box?
It's just in the box.
Such bad acting.
Nasty.
It's just such bad acting.
Dog shit or something. Nasty.
And I love Brad Pitt. I think he's never been in a bad movie, really. I wanted to hate Moneyball. When I first heard the concept that he was going to be the star of Moneyball, I thought that movie was going to be a turd in the punch bowl, and it was actually great, and he's great in it.
So is Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill's great in everything. That guy is weird as hell, and his weight fluctuates like plus minus 150 per role, but he's such a good actor.
It just kills it. I mean, Wolf of Wall Street. He was great.
Oh, he's outstanding in that
movie. I don't remember what the movie was, but he's the arms dealer, and he literally had a pair of suspenders and some pants on, looked like the Saturday morning cartoons, the protein guy that was before the What's in a Bill
War cartoon. Dogs.
War Dogs. So
great.
I mean, and then Jonah Hill.
The river runs through it.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Brad Pitt's probably a B-plus actor, but he's been in A-plus movies. Never seen a bad name a Brad Pitt movie that's an absolute donkey. Probably something
I never saw early. Like World War Z. Do you remember
I
that?
I didn't see that.
Mindless brain apocalyptic brain candy. It was about a C-plus.
He's even good in The Big Short. Which is based on a true story. Very good movie.
I just watched that. Watched it about a week ago. I was just like,
oh, outstanding.
That's an outstanding movie.
The Big Short is tremendous.
Christian very Bale underrated.
Amazing.
Yeah,
in that. He's amazing in that. And if Carell you like Big Short, awesome. If you liked Big Short, Jamie, you'll love Dumb Money, which is on Netflix right now.
I think
that's the whole GameStop deal.
I never watched that. Why didn't I? I was planning to, and I never did.
If you have Netflix, I'm sure you do. It is.
You can call my agent.
FREE free.
Yeah. Well,
unlike
Braves baseball, and pretty much everything else in Major League Baseball, unless that's right. Sunday night on.
But hey, you got to move the All Star Game out of Atlanta because apparently,
yeah,
apparently nobody has an ID in Atlanta.
Yeah,
who knew? I've seen people living under a bridge in Atlanta that have an ID. Trust me. There's no lack of people having an ID. If you bought that lemon,
God,
there's some stuff in my attic. I'll sell you.
I know.
Record turnout in the last Georgia.
Just let it happen. You know,
and the party that gripped about everything won. You know,
but, so. And Manfred crazy. Moved the Major League All Star Game out of Atlanta based on a pack of lies. How sad. How sad is that? But again,
smoke in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, but we are getting it back. Atlanta is getting the All-Star game back, so that's good. That's good. Good to see.
Just to throw something, man. Taylor here. He probably just got on the Blackwell thing. Nah, I wouldn't worry about it right now. Different coaches decline for different reasons. Could it be because of the quote-unquote report over the weekend, and he just doesn't want to hear about it? Maybe, but he also somebody did text me and say he's probably not feeling too well, something like that. So, and this isn't as unprecedented as it seems. I don't think we've gotten every single assistant coach except the first year Beamer was here. One guy usually does decline every couple of years, and it's usually a surprise too because usually a guy that's usually pretty good with the media. So, and I think Steve Fink, in all his consistency, who's one of the best SIDs around. I don't think anybody would argue with that.
Former
he does use that. Yeah, he uses that phrase declined. He's declined to speak. And that's, but he uses it with everybody. It's not like he says, well, oh, wait a minute. He's sorry. He can't be with you. He just, that's his like professional way of saying, you won't be hearing from him today. So it's not as big of a red flag as I thought, but you know, I'd be lying. I'm not going to sit there and lie if something behind the scenes is going on. I was promised that if things did change that, you know, we would know. So, I'm going to take people at their word and kind of just say, I don't think based on the fact that some folks have said he doesn't feel good. I mean, that's probably just that.
It is 12:55. It is time for a timeout. Somebody who did not decline is John Strickland. We'll talk plenty of football with him. And then afterwards we will preview the Alabama-South Carolina baseball series, very important to everybody, both sides this weekend. The SEC weekend is tremendous, and it will be next week, and it will be the week after, and it will be the week after, because it's the best week in college baseball. As we go to break, though, something to chew on, literally, for the three of you, and I'm sure Strick is already paying attention, so for Strick, too, and for our audience. It's a very interesting national day. It is national something on a stick. What is your favorite food to eat on a stick? Think about that. It's a great answer. It's a great question with a great answer, I'm sure. Your favorite food to eat on a stick. All right. Feels like I've got it.
Ed Todd right there.
Ed Troy wasn't a great movie, but it was okay. Sorry.
It was okay.
I'm talking
right.
About the stick thing. It added it. The guy from Succession.
I saw Troy with Toman and Monty Lee the day off of the SEC tournament in Hoover. It was the one year that Carolina won it. So we had a day off to do anything. We rolled down the hill and saw that at the Hoover Metroplex or whatever.
The one of the kings or generals or something, and it's the guy from Secession, that HBO show that just closed.
Oh, old man, great
older man that died, who's also Uncle Argyle in Braveheart.
And I'm something we shall have to I'm with Quantrell. I didn't think Revenant was very good.
Revenant. Like, that's one with Leo.
Yeah, it's not Brad Pitt. It's Leo. But
I it was long. I liked it. I liked parts of it. I liked my mind being able to go back to that time. Like, wow, what would that have been like?
Yeah. But, I mean, the fight with the bear is legendary. But my favorite bear fight movie is The Edge with Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins. That is a very underrated flick.
Mine was The Great Outdoors with John Candy.
Old jail cell Alec.
I'm going to kill the son of a bitch.
Used to be a good actor. Sure. All right.
Anybody seen The Edge but me? Am I on an island? I feel like I just.
I see it.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, listen,
National something on a stick day. We've got to go to break.
Yeah, just we're talking about olden times, and now we get to think about our meat on a stick or veggies, something else.
Is that what they're doing? Hit
it, Phil. Do it, Phil. You've got the control. Right, do it. Roll. You can do it.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Tartan Day South, built by Culpeper Wood, is the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Friday, April the 5th, three great Celtic rock bands perform at the Lexington Amphitheater. Saturday, April 6th, it's the main event at the historic Columbia Speedway in Casey, featuring Highland Games, Celtic dance, music, and food, featuring exhibits like sheepdog herding, birds of prey, and classic British cars at the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Get your tickets now at TartanDaySouth.com.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet. The best selection of new Chevys. The lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power of
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever, and I've never felt more confident in my golf. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to mckellarenterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Columbia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington in the Target Center and one in West Columbia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh, hot setup. And again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium and the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arena. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
It is 105, and it is the final hour of the work week for us here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. 3 hours of power hour today with our friend Mike Morgan, presented by Ryan Brewer Enterprises, Ryan Brewer Fence, RyanBrewer.net. This guy knows Ryan Brewer very well. John Strickland, former offensive lineman who beating them up inside, John, making holes for those tailbacks to get through and run down the far as they can run, down the sideline, deep, right? Mike, give us a call here.
Yeah, I've got some. Yeah, I mean, I've got a few of those on. We were just talking with Brad Moeller about a lot of those SEC games back when you played, John, there was no SEC network. A lot of them were actually pay-per-view. Yeah, there's going to be a whole generation of people that will never believe they had to spend $34.95 to see South Carolina play Ole Miss or South Carolina play Kentucky. But that was the case when you played during the Lou Holtz era.
Yeah, it was a lot of Jefferson Pilot.
Dave Neal.
Yeah.
The three Daves. Yeah. Dave Neal, Dave Rowe.
Dave Baker,
yeah.
Was, yeah. Yeah, no, I've met those guys way back in the day, back when good old Jefferson Pilot. And every now and then you got an ESPN game, you know, so.
And some games were just radio only.
I mean,
people don't even believe that anymore.
Especially when you played the lesser teams that were not in the conference. You had to pay for it to watch it.
As a play-by-play guy, when I was doing radio, I mean, I'll be honest, I loved the radio-only broadcast. The audience would, you know, quintuple, if not more, in size.
Oh, yeah.
And they really that's where you really had to show your chops, because you can't just yell out and scream out highlights. Anybody can do that. I can get a high school announcer to do that. You have to paint the picture. You have to make sure you're the eyes and ears of everybody. I used to be taught, like, you have to announce like you're talking to a blind man and helping him envision what's going on. And that's where the Bob Fultons of the world, you know, they couldn't hide behind a TV broadcast to help fill in the blanks. You had to truly call the game and describe the action like no other. So that's kind of missing now from a lot of it, quite honestly, because if you're at the stadium, you can see it and you're listening on your headsets. And then if you're watching on TV, obviously, you know, you see all the images. So it's a little bit different deal. Hey, I got one quick question for you before we get into a multitude of football stuff. I see the bourbon behind you every time, and I've become a bourbon guy. Here's what I want to know from you. I've got a friend of mine in California that I promised I would mail him a bottle of Blanton's. Blanton's is made at Buffalo Trace, which is in Frankfort, Kentucky, which is where my wife is from.
Yeah.
So I have family members that can get Blanton's at half the price that which you'd pay ordinarily. That's not the problem. Problem is, I didn't realize this, it's illegal to ship it in many states, including California.
Let me tell you, Mike, here's how you do it. So I do this because I trade bottles with all, you know, people I know that live in different states. Don't ship through the United States Postal Service, because
I don't do that anyway. It'll be lost.
Yeah, it's a felony. Okay.
Oh, wow.
But you can ship it through UPS or FedEx, and you're good to go. So
see, I have a buddy who got caught doing that with UPS. Like, he's banned from using UPS.
Really? Well, that really probably means he was shipping way too many bottles.
Probably. I'm not looking to make a profit here. I'm just doing a friend a favor. So maybe you and I will touch base after the show. Maybe I can buy one of those bottles off your shelf, have you ship it.
Hold on.
I'll give you
maybe
a convenience
fee. Maybe you can get the felony. Yeah, my friend is happy.
If you'll assume the risk.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, those are Blanton's. Yeah.
Okay, so I will buy the bottle that hasn't been opened, and I will pay you the shipping and a John Strickland convenience fee if you can pull this off for me.
Yeah, I can do that.
You are the man.
You have my number. Just text me.
I will. I wouldn't even ask if it wasn't semi-important, because I'm a man of my word, and I promise this not knowing that it was illegal to do. You can ship anything. It's not like I'm shipping drugs. It's bourbon.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a mule to ship heroin and cocaine and fentanyl.
You can make it watch the Untouchables after this now. Elliot Ness is going to come to your house.
It's not prohibition, right? I mean, I didn't double check this, but prohibition is over, right?
That's like, the Chicago way.
Interstate pretty sure, like in some states, you can just commit grand larceny and they don't even put you in jail. So I would like to think
California.
And I'm shipping it to California, but apparently
of
all places to have a law.
You can ship to California, right? But you can't ship bourbon.
You can't. I mean, you can rob. You can hit people over the head with a baton, but you can't ship a bottle of bourbon.
You can go into their home and claim it as your own.
Yes. Yeah, you've got squatting. I can go break into somebody's house and be like, yeah, dude, I live here now. This is mine. Get out.
You haven't been here for 30 days.
This too much, but the squatting conversation has been a hot topic here the past like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
John, I could probably guess what your response would be to someone squatting in your home. It'd probably be very similar to if I walked into my house and somebody tried to claim it as theirs.
This is no lie. I know somebody who lives in California. They have some land, and on the far side of their land, somebody had basically been camping out there, and they tried to basically take that piece of land from the guy I know, because they had been there for 30 days. So,
and what happened? Wild. What did the guy do?
They never found him.
Well, they went to court. I don't know. I don't have an update on it, but
okay. Wow. Yeah, we'll get our IT team on that.
Yeah.
Phil,
yeah.
If you don't mind, during the break, could you look up what's this guy's address, John? See if we can.
See the local homicides over the last 30 days, Phil, and if the name checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Missing persons reports. But if I type in squatting in California in Google, I'll be dazed trying to figure it out.
My wife and I, we love going to California. We go to wine country a lot, beautiful place, but not somewhere I'd want to live. We'll just leave it at that.
This is a good time to remind everybody that our show is served by Chicken Cock Bourbon, and you can find that on our app, the Chief Sports app.
I'll send a bottle of that too, Jamie, if we can, if we can, you know, again, find somebody to ship it.
Yeah, I'll bet there's some Chicken Cock back there behind the great.
Oh yeah, we have
football loving John Strickland. So let's get to the good stuff here before we went to break. It is National Meat on or Food on a Stick Day, something on a stick day, National Something on a Stick Day. I don't feel like you need to ever think this. It's just a good corn dog just does the body good, right?
That's it. Corn dog. When you say food on a stick, it's just like, all right, corn dog.
Immediately.
Here. Easy.
Yeah.
Roasted marshmallow.
Roasted marshmallow? Okay. That's good. That's good. Yeah. You said shish kebab earlier, JC. Was that you?
That was me.
No. Oh, that was Mike.
Yeah. Oh. I'm a grill man. I'm not much of a cook. But I'll put sausage, green peppers, tomatoes, onions on a stick. That's my go-to.
Yeah, that's a good one. What about you, JC?
Pork chop on a stick.
Great minds think alike.
Ribeye
on a stick sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does.
But I'm going with sausage like Mike with the peppers and sometimes without peppers.
So it's essentially a...
It's not a bratwurst, it's like a skewer. Polish sausage on a skewer, or
sausage kebab or something.
Sausage kebab. It's a kebab, but it's sausage.
We did shrimp and watermelon kebabs one time. That was fantastic. You'd be shocked how well it goes together.
I'm not a watermelon guy.
You're not?
No, I'm not a big fan of watermelon.
Who's from the South that doesn't eat watermelon?
I've had watermelon before, and it actually is pretty good.
You've had what now?
Grilled watermelon,
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's actually pretty good.
It's pretty good. You know what else I've done before? I've soaked an entire watermelon in vodka.
Well,
that didn't go as well.
Yeah. You know, back in the day when I was younger, we put a hole into a watermelon. You know, you just put a hole into it, and then you just pour vodka into it and let the whole thing soak. Yeah.
Hey, do you remember Blake's house on South Bull?
Yes, 100%.
All right. So there was a party there one night. Shocking.
But you had, here's what you have, though. You have Blake's house, and then you had Charlotte's house two doors down. So on the weekend, that's where kind of everybody was.
That's right. Yeah.
20 years ago.
I'd rather stay.
We're old, man. Charlotte's house. I'm sitting here looking at myself, the gray hair. Mike's talking about, hey, you can only buy this game on
pay-per-view on radio.
Oh man!
Well,
how old we are?
And no camera phones back then, and all that. You know, the stuff that happened on South Bowl stayed on South Bowl mostly, or made its way back to South Bowl. They had a party one night. It was generally they had a party. I think it was six nights or seven nights a week.
Probably,
but it was just one of those six or seven.
Myself, Jeff Barnes, Shane Hall, and Hart Turner We all built the beer pong table that was at that house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why am I the only one on the screen?
Like the South Carolina football field, like the home field over at Williams-Rice. We painted it. We did it
all. I remember that. Yep. Was that – that's when Andy and Cody Wells lived there, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, we went – and then we'll move on to actual football here. But we went to – we walked over from Charlotte's house one night, and they had one of their bathtubs filled with whatever – that whatever drink – I don't know what it was. That juice crap.
Yeah.
And I said
– Hunch punch.
I said – who showers? I'm pretty sure it was Andy's tub.
I think it was.
They said, that's Boydo's. Ain't drinking out of that. No. We don't do tub drinks. Old JB here doesn't do tub drink, especially at that house of all places. So anyway, I don't even know how that came up, but it did. So I'm glad it did. All right, John. So how many games do you think the Gamecocks will win this year? What do you think is
the schedule, win or loss.
Right. Why do you think Markell Blackwell didn't talk to the media today? What do you think the 40 time for the ball boy is? These are important questions.
I saw that earlier.
I have an O-line question for Strick. The combine came and went. We're a month away from the draft. I've always been fascinated by like how they measure O linemen, and I know I keep hearing more and more about your reach, right? Like it's not just about height, weight, and how strong you are, or how many times you can lift 225, which seems like feathers for you guys, but how long are your arms, especially if you're a tackle? But they still make these guys run 40s, and I'm like, why are they doing this? When is an O-lineman ever? Did you take part in all that, and what do you make in all that? And is there any lineman that you think, like, is Joe Alt just a can't-miss 10-year starting tackle in the NFL?
Yeah, so I did take part in all that. Actually, my agent sent me to train in Atlanta for, 2 months? So I lived in a hotel for 2 months in Atlanta training.
Wow.
At one of the top places in the country. And the 225 is the most overrated thing they do.
Right.
It's just so overrated, because how many times your endurance and your muscles can push up 225 have nothing to do with playing football.
Right. shorter arm guys can do more reps generally.
Exactly.
Right?
So the longer your arms are, even tougher, which it makes no sense. The reach is your arm length, your wingspan is definitely a real thing, especially when you're outside offensive tackles. Just simply because you get your arms extended on a guy and he can't pull or grab you because your arms are longer than his, that's a win. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that stuff does matter. The 40 doesn't really matter. It shows basically how good of an athlete you are, which I had a pretty good 40 time when I ran.
What'd you have?
I was a 5'1" 3 at 315 pounds.
Wow. So, yeah. People don't understand how hard it is for a man that size to do that.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
5'1" 3. I mean, most people can't run a 5'5". So I was pretty good about that. I'll tell you who was most impressive, though. Travell. Travell Wharton, he ran 4.95 at 15. I mean, that just goes to show you, like, I mean, there's a reason he played in the NFL for 11 years. I mean,
yeah.
Just pretty good. An athlete, all right? So, my 5.13 was, like, top half of all O-linemen in my draft class.
Wow.
So, yeah. But the 40 doesn't really matter either. I guess you're 10 yard, they do a 10 right. yard split when you run that 40. That makes a little bit difference. And then basically just your footwork. As an offensive lineman, they want to see how good your feet are, how you move. That's what really matters. Staying balanced on your feet. Mm-hmm. But I would think that matters. And then the arm length does matter, especially if you're offensive tackle. Inside, it doesn't matter as much just because you're right on a guy. But when you're out at offensive tackle, you're kick sliding, kick stepping to a long, usually tall very athletic guy. And if you can get your hands on the D end and keep him off of you with your arm length, that definitely matters.
So to tie that back in to this group here, Strick, what have you been hearing? I mean, I know you talk to these guys, you've got your sources up there. Coach Elliott's back. They've got three offensive line coaches on this staff for anybody that was wondering. Everything we've heard has been really, really encouraging, especially after what we saw last fall.
Yeah. You know, I hung out with Coach Atkins about three or four weeks ago.
He's a good guy, man.
He is. He's the best. So we had a suite at Parker McCollum concert, and I saw Atkins, and he was just like, "Man, I just bought a ticket last minute, so I'm gonna go catch a seat." I was like, "No, man, come to our suite." So he came to the suite and hung out with us whole concert. But he feels pretty good about what we what we got going on, you know, from his perspective. And you know, Vershawn Lee, everything I hear, he's working back at center. So that's a plus. It's always good to have a veteran guy at center, because the center is, and I'm not just saying this because I played center, but the center is like the heartbeat of the offensive line.
Yeah.
And it's all about getting the guys healthy that were injured this past year. And I'm hearing some good things, especially, God, what's the guy's name?
The kid from
North Carolina A&M.
From Central, Torricelli Simpkins.
Simpkins, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to bring him up. I'm glad you brought him up, because I remember, was this a couple months ago when he transferred here? What was this, three months ago? And yeah, you had mentioned Cedric.
Cedric had told, like, our group of guys that we all talked to, Cedric had, like, expressed, like, hey, it's this kid's the real deal. Like, he can 100% compete on the SEC level. And, you know, I actually went through and just kind of watched some film and highlights that I could pull up on him. The kid looks really good. I think you will see him starting. I don't know what's going on now. All right. I am going to practice next week. But I think you will see this kid starting at one of the guard spots. I mean, he's for real.
Yeah. What is important about a young offensive lineman, especially a talented one? They've got a bunch of talented young guys. I mean, it's not hard to prove that. Just look at who's recruiting all these dudes. Carolina's got them. So what's important for them right now?
So important for a young offensive lineman, obviously, one is to get in the weight room. All right. I mean, you're going against grown men. Okay. So you got to be strong. You got to be in shape. But I mean, the obvious thing is you got to have that mindset that you just, I mean, I hate to even say it like this, but you just want to kill people. Like, you just want to be an asshole. All right. Basically, that's what it is. And if you don't have that mindset as an offensive lineman, if you're not a asshole, you know, there's something wrong with you. So to be a great offensive lineman, you got to be just a SOB, strong-minded, and want to kill somebody every play. That's really what it comes down to. And some people got it, some people don't. I mean, I'm not going to say names, but I play with guys who were just, you know, didn't have that mindset. And, you know, once you get your body developed, these young guys, you get your body developed, you just got to have that in your head that you just, you know, a professional ass kicker, basically, is what you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something that we're all looking to see from this group, is how much meaner they can be. Kind of like Mike Morgan, like mean, nice, nasty. Nice to your face, but behind your back, he's going to, you know.
Absolutely. And I can lift 225 17 times on a good day.
They need to. Get a lot meaner up there.
They need to be meaner. Well, that's why Sean's here, right? You know, Sean's the tight ends coach, but he's also
defensive line too, to be honest with you. I mean, I'll just be straight. But both lines of scrimmage need to be tougher.
What is there?
You're on the line of scrimmage, if you're on the line of scrimmage, you should be the most, like, you should be the meanest, ugliest person ever while you're on the field, obviously. You know, off the field, hey. You know, offensive linemen, we're the best people. You know, everybody loves offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but on the field, yeah, you just want to be just a complete. I want to say more words, but I'm not going to. But y'all get what I'm saying.
Guys like you will ship folks bourbon with a felony on the line. You'll do all kinds of stuff to people that you wouldn't. You wouldn't generally do if you're like a running back or a wide receiver. Those guys don't get bourbon. You know, they
right.
It takes the trenches.
They're yellow.
Put their careers on the line for their former broadcast team.
I mean, I'll give you an example. We were playing Florida my junior year, and I got hurt at the second quarter of the game. Didn't play the rest of the game, but at the beginning of the game, my buddy Kenny, who I played in the Georgia Florida high school all-star game. So I literally just drug Kenny to the ground after the whistle. And he's like, "Strick, why are you acting like that?" I said, "We're playing football, buddy. And after the game, like, we hugged each other, whatever. But, you know, when you're out there on the field, I don't care who you are. I don't care if it was my mom out there on the field. I'm going to beat your ass. That's how you have to be.
You said that was Kenny who? Kenny Harney?
No. This is a guy, he played D-line at Florida, but he's Georgia. He played with me in the Georgia-Florida All-Star game.
Oh, okay. I heard you say Kenny.
He played for Florida, and he was playing. He's a D-tackle, and first play of the game, like, we got the ball first play of the game. I blocked him 20 yards down the field and just pancaked him and landed on him, and he's like, "Why are you doing that?" And I hit him after the whistle, but basically, you know, that's what I'm saying. Who cares who they are, if you're your friend or not? When the game's being played, you just be an asshole.
All right, so let me ask you a question. I really am anxious to get everybody's thoughts on this, JC, and I really am interested to see if you've heard anything about this. I'm probably just manufacturing drama here, but so Nick Harbor comes to, we all knew what to expect when this young man got to South Carolina, right? He was going to be a football guy. I don't think JC wants to answer the question, but it's all good. We'll run it back. We knew he was going to be a football guy. We knew he was going to be a track guy. So he comes out and he plays football. We also knew that he wasn't going to really be around much in the spring. He's been out there at track, but he is coming out watching practice. Okay. So let's put that on the left side of the table. On the right side of the table here, you've got guys who've left for the NFL, guys who've left in the transfer portal. You've brought in transfers at the wide receiver position, guys who had nothing to do with the recruitment of Nick Harbor. They probably really don't know him that well, like Gage Larvadane and those guys who've come in, Amari Huggins Bruce from Louisville and so on and so forth. And they're coming here trying to earn their spot on the field, right, John? And they want to get out there and be able to get into the rotation. And here's this five-star wide receiver who really did have a pretty good freshman year developing himself and getting better. But he's not participating in spring practice. And he is going to get the opportunity to play. So what do you think that – did you ever have a situation like this when you were playing with the Gamecocks? Like, what can that do? You're out there running around the field. You're busting your rear end. Like you said, you're being mean to you're trying to get better. And you look over there, there's a track star. There's a five-star guy. He's just standing there watching, clapping, smiling, and not sweating or anything like that. Does that affect the program at all?
I don't think it does, JB. I mean, the only thing I can remember, like, Sheldon Brown played baseball for a season, you know.
It's the second time he's
come. I know. That's two references. And I mentioned him earlier, Strick.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
could have been a great baseball player too. Boy,
by the way, one of the all-time greats.
Great person.
You know, they're
great dude.
I don't think it affects it much. I mean, it obviously does. Obviously, you want to have him out on the field, getting better with running his routes and catching the ball. But just a guy like that, you know what you signed up for, I guess. All right, you know, with him running track. You know, it's not like he's not doing anything. All right. The guy's like staying in shape, you know, moving his body. You know, I can see where some guys may be like, "Oh man, you know, Nick's going to come back and he's just going to take my spot," you know, whatever. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think a lot of these guys understand. But it is, I mean, listen, this is a super rare thing. You very rarely have guys who play two sports in college. I mean, it's rare. Like, it doesn't happen a lot. And Nick's one of those guys. And we've seen a couple of them over the years, like I mentioned Sheldon. But I don't think it affects it too much.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't think so either. And Coach Beamer is – I think
the fact that the word Olympics is coming up and what he's trying to do also kind of plays a factor in that. You're just like, you know what? I mean, I'm not trying. I'm not going to make an Olympic team, period. So it was like, let this guy do his thing. And yeah, because I know if I were in the same position, that would kind of affect my decisions on him as well. It's just like, dude, he's trying to do some big stuff here.
I don't disagree with that. Me as a predominantly football guy, which I love all Gamecock sports, everything, but I definitely want him out on the field practicing because he showed a lot of improvement from the beginning of the season to the end of the season last year. And you want that to keep going on that trajectory. Yeah.
Trajectory.
So, yeah. So you want that to keep going, and you want him out at practice and getting better and getting in that routine. So that's the downside of it. But, listen, Nick is a freak athlete. Didn't he just win the 100 meter at the meet they were at?
And his best time ever.
Indoor. Yeah. Posted his best time, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a tough call, but I don't think it affects it too much.
Here's the thing. I think it's two different things. I think – if a guy just wanted to run track, I want to be on the track team, and he's on football scholarship, and he's just kind of part of the team. Yeah, you know, he goes and finishes third or fourth every time and gets a squeeze juice box and eats orange slices and doesn't have to go out and play football. And he just he keeps prioritizing that. Then I think you need to have a talk with him.
Yeah.
And I think you need to say, well, whoa, we're paying the bills here. Last time I checked. Nick is a different special situation because he does have a chance to be an Olympian. And look, I'm sorry. In the South, there's very few things as important as college football. I think from a sports fan standpoint, I could care less about the Olympics. But as far as the honor goes to represent your country and an individual achievement, it surpasses any kind of team achievement I think you could possibly make when you're on the field with 84 other guys.
Yeah.
And so here's what I would encourage everybody to do. From a football fan standpoint, you're going to be discouraged and frustrated because Nick Harbor's not going to be as good as he could have been because the facts are you're not going to get better at football unless you play football. That's how you get better at football, playing football. So don't expect him to go out and light it up next year because he's not. Now, I think the P word needs to come into play here, and the word is patience. I think that once he gets through these trials and gets through competing for Olympics, let's say he makes the Olympic team this year, well, then I have a decision to make. Do I want to continue my pro track career and Olympic track career, or do I want to go play football? And then if it's football, it's a different story, you know, once you've kind of been there, done that. But right now, I think, you know, everybody's playing it the right way, making the right decisions, letting him breathe. Don't worry so much about the immediacy and the immediacy of demands in college football recruiting these days, just because you have five stars by your name, just let him go do it and let him chase the dream and then worry about any sort of final decision or anything later. Nick's a good kid. He's a great teammate.
Yep.
He tries really hard. He put in the work last year. John, you made the point. He got to a certain level. Okay. Then he hit a wall, which a lot of freshmen do, but he got to that level where he was able to catch, you know, six passes for 89 yards against A&M, and he rarely dropped the ball. Yeah. He had maybe two drops all year and a lot of tough catches. So the guy's valuable to the team. Just people got to – you may have to wait on him to be the next man, Randy Moss, and you have to accept the fact he may not ever get there because track is going to take him further, and we'd all make the same decision he's making.
Could I make just one point on that?
Yeah, I'm out. That's my monologue for
this. This is just one just little – anecdote on the subject as someone who's done a lot of SEC games and college football games in general with other teams. There have been countless examples of guys who run track and still perform on the football field. The two are not mutually exclusive. This is not like, you know, you mentioned Sheldon Brownstrick. I mean, baseball is such a timing game, and if you don't get your rips in the batting cage throughout the week, you're not going to survive. So your focus really has to be the guys that have tried to play like a Julius Peppers, who's a freak, football and basketball. You've got to learn plays. You've got to practice with both teams. That this is not that. Guys have been able to, and I realize the Olympics are in play here, so that's another factor on top of another factor, but there have been numerous SEC athletes that have run track and still been damn good. LSU's had, I can't tell you how many, Alabama and Marlon Humphrey recently, who's still in the NFL. Like there's a number of guys. So it's not mutually exclusive that Nick Harbor has to choose one or the other, or if he keeps running track, then he's never going to be able to be good as a football player. That's just not the case. If he's meant to be a good football player, then I think he'll turn out to be. JC's absolutely right. I mean, the only way to get better at football is to play football. But I do think you can juggle the two and still excel at both. It just depends how truly special an athlete you really are.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And, I mean, listen, Nick's a freak athlete. I think he'll be fine. You know, track season is going to be winding down here soon. Him, Lenora's, you know, all the quarterbacks, receivers, you know, nowadays everybody goes out and throws after workouts and stuff and runs routes. He'll be fine. I'm not too worried about it. Obviously you want him in live contact like spring practice gives to you, but, I think he'll be just fine.
I want to switch gears a little bit here, and then we'll let you run in about 3 or 4 minutes. But something that it kind of is beginning to come up every year. I think some coaches are in favor of this strict, probably some aren't. But what would your thought? You went through, well, I know you went through four spring practices, right? Did you get through four?
Let's see.
I know you went through at least three.
So yeah, no, definitely four. I was redshirted, so definitely four.
What would it mean to a college football player to play a spring game against a different opponent?
You know what? I actually like the idea. Honestly, I used to hate scrimmaging versus my teammates. It's like that record that gets played over and over again. It's boring. You don't get hyped up for it. I mean, it's just like kind of like, oh, really, you know, that's kind of what it is. So I would love, you know, like these NFL teams get together during camp and scrimmage each other. Okay, I can get up for that. You know, I can get hyped up for that. So I think it would be good in college. I mean, hell, what? Basketball plays exhibitions, right?
And a secret scrimmage, right, Mike? Don't they do secret scrimmages?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Frank, you do VT all the time.
You're not supposed to know about it, and you can't talk about it, but it happens all the time.
They do They do two baseball scrimmages now in the fall versus mm-hmm. other opponents. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, why can't we just have one scrimmage, you know, at the end of spring and this school's spring? All right, hey, let's come together and scrimmage each other and see what we look like.
Were you there when Lou Holtz played – like a military college in the off season? Do you know what I'm talking
about? No,
JV game. JV game.
I was the head coach.
Oh, okay.
No BS. I was
so you're 1-0.
The coaches could not participate. So I was the head coach. All right. So I had me, God, who was it? There was like six or eight of us players, because I was an older guy that time.
Right.
I was the head coach, and then, you know, we had some defensive guys that managed the defense, and then us offensive guys managed the offense. We played against Georgia Military College.
Georgia Military. Yeah. Okay.
I was the head coach of the game. We won, by the way.
They were pretty good. they were pretty good. But, they but always
so basically, we had all of our, like, young guys playing that game. It was basically all of our freshmen and sophomores that weren't, you know, starters.
Right.
All right. Our backups that played a lot. It was basically all the guys who were like third string young guys, mm-hmm. and we had them play against Georgia Military College. And yeah, I was the head coach.
I thought that was cool and innovative. I didn't know why any other program, particularly the SEC level, that was doing that.
I haven't heard of anybody else doing it. And yeah. I'll never forget, Coach Holtz told us, and we're just like, really? And he's like, but Coach Holtz was like, well, the coaches can't coach, so we need you older guy. So I was like, Coach, I got this. So yeah, I was the head coach 100%.
You were like Johnny Mox in Varsity Blues. You were calling the plays.
Yeah, we were.
You didn't need Buddy Kilmer.
We did. It was fun, actually. It was a lot.
So what would have happened to you had you gotten, you know, like trying to think of who all the stars were. Like, what if you had Troy Williamson clocked across the middle and he was out for the year or something? What would Lou do?
That wasn't happening. That wasn't happening. This, like I said, this is none of the 2D were playing in this game. This was all for the young guys.
You couldn't play at all. And it took a lot of people out because you couldn't play if you were redshirting and you couldn't play if you had played in a varsity game.
Yeah,
the previous season.
It was a lot of walk-ons and guys that didn't care about burning their red shirt or that already red shirted that never played.
You're talking about
Yeah, it was mostly guys who had already red shirted that weren't in the too deep.
Yeah.
That you just felt like you needed to see some more out of them and see how they performed. So that's kind of what it was. But man, I forgot all about that.
I had no idea when I asked the question. You were the coach.
Yes.
I remember being at Lou's press conference and he's describing this game that's going to take place against a military college. And I'm like, is this even legal? I've never heard of anybody doing this.
Yeah. Hmm. I was going into my senior year. You know, that was my last year at South Carolina. And yeah, we played it right in Williams-Brice, even had some fans out. And yeah,
Well, as someone who's called a lot of spring games, they have become basically comical. They're not even anything. They're not even scrimmages. We basically have changed the format. Everybody's so paranoid of getting hurt. And like you said, Strick, you're tired of going up against your own and you're not going to do anything to embarrass your own typically. So unless we get to the point where we are going against somebody else, these games are just kind of, it's not even a practice. It's just a half-ass practice in a lot of ways.
You know, the spring game is a glorified, hey, look at me. We made it through spring game. It is, all right?
When Taki Muhammad sets records in a spring game, that ought to tell you all you need to know. It ain't that important.
And now, I love Taki, by the way. But, yes, it's just – it's not that serious. The player, I mean, honestly – you get hyped up for it a little bit because it's cool. You got the fans out here, whatever, but it's not that hype. And, you know, honestly, I think when you go out there, you're not as hyped up for it. And it's just kind of like, all right, let's get this over with. That actually gets people injured more than if you were, you know, full speed, you know, let's go. And, you know, there's no like laziness to you, by the way. So I think going against another team is the way to go, and I think the NCAA needs to do that. And you know what? If somebody gets hurt, you still got 6 months, 5 months until the season starts.
You could just as easily get hurt in a non-contact injury, which seems to happen more often than any collision in the spring.
Happens all the time. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you could play another team and still not even let them touch the quarterbacks if you wanted to do that. I mean,
easy. Definitely.
Wow. What a stat line. Strick, can't thank you enough for joining us. See, this is incredible. We are the only program ever in the history of this state to be able to acknowledge the only undefeated head coach in the history of Gamecock football. This is a great moment for us here.
Rock me
by the second.
Saban. Strickland.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in that order.
Never.
Rockney, Saban, Strickland. Yeah. And the Bear. We got to put the Bear
in
there.
Well, it wasn't just me. You know, it was a collective player.
What if they call the little people?
You need to remind Shane of this next week. He probably doesn't know. You need to let him in on the secret.
Yeah. I'm sure. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. I wanted to coach football, you know, after I got cut from the Redskins or the Commanders, whatever you want to call them. After I got cut, I wanted to coach football, but back then there just wasn't enough money, and I make too much money today though, man, coaches the pay they get, I'm kind of like, man, maybe I should do this.
If you have a change of heart, I mean, somebody gladly take an undefeated coach on their staff. So
yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of opportunities out there.
John,
we'll let you run, man. Look forward to starting to get you back into the flow. We're really not as far away as people think we are. You'll bat an eye and it'll be here.
It'll be here before you know it. And that's what I love. I hope baseball gives us what we had last year. And maybe get to Omaha, so that would be
a chance. Yeah.
And then our girls basketball team, I feel good about them. They played like they played last weekend. Nobody will beat them.
Nobody.
Go straight through everybody.
15.5 point favorites tomorrow. Give me the over on that heavily.
Yeah, I'll take the over too. If they keep shooting the ball like they're shooting,
you can't touch them.
Nobody going to stop them because. No. Their defense is just too good for anybody to keep up with their scoring.
I agree with that. Caitlin Clark might hang 40 on them, but they would still lose by 20. And
that's all they got, though. I mean, she'll shoot 47 shots and hit 20 of them. So,
yeah.
You'll take that all day. What is that? It's about 40% shooting for her. Yeah, I'll take that all day.
So Coach Pear says is the efficiency. Who cares if they score a bunch of points? If it took them 50 shots to get there, have at it.
He was talking about Dalton Kincaid. He's like, I mean, the guy shot 27 shots and only hit 10 of them or 12 of them. Hey, we'll take that all day.
Right. Exactly. All right, man. Well, stay clear of the law now. Don't let Mike get you in any trouble.
Nah, yeah, it's only a misdemeanor if at the most. We're good, Strick.
It is.
I'll be in touch.
You'll be fine. That's
in South Carolina. They're going to haul him off to a California
prison. No. It's all good. Strick's got it under control. We're going to make it happen, Strick. I appreciate it.
Just tell him you're shipping like barbecue sauce or something.
Yeah. That's right. Wrap it in Billy G's label and see.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure.
Pull that off. He would love that too. Hey, I'm shipping Billy G's sweet heat.
There we go. Mad Dog. Everybody wants to know where Mad Dog's nickname came from. It came from prison. Let him know how prison works, Mad Dog. He's got a pretty mouth, doesn't he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. All right. On that note, Strick, talk soon, brother.
Tell him, Phil.
I'm gonna need more commissary for that endorsement.
Give me my cup.
See you, Strick. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
Thanks, John. See you, Strick. Talk soon.
Right. Go ahead.
The awkward segues continue. When we mentioned D's Wings.
Kings of that.
For those of you who might have enjoyed lunch at D's over there in West Columbia today, you got the quarter rack of ribs over rice with a salad for $9.99. It's ridiculous. Got oyster buckets going on every Thursday night. That's the special every Thursday night. Check them out. Great place to watch March Madness from Thursday all the way through Sunday. Takeout orders. Somebody actually will answer the phone. Not a voicemail prompt, and no matter how big the order is, it's never too big. Same thing with you've got a huge party. It's never too huge. They will make room for you at D's. The original D's at the new location over there in West Columbia do an outstanding job. And also the Power Hour presented by our friend Gary Patterson, GaryPatterson.net, your State Farm agent and mine. For those of you in the Midlands, great guy to have on your side. I've told you some of the nightmare stories I've had with others. I can also tell you the great stories I've had with Gary on his policies over the years, and knowing that if you do have some issue, you can just pick up the phone and call and Gary will get back to you ASAP. When he's not officiating college football games, he's doing a great job serving you folks out there with your home, your auto, and your life insurance. That's Gary Patterson, GaryPatterson.net.
It is 1:50. We've got to hit our final time out of the afternoon. When we return, we'll get you primed for tonight's ball game and set you up for the Sweet 16 right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Tartan Day South, built by Culpeper Wood, is the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Friday, April the 5th, three great Celtic rock bands perform at the Lexington Amphitheater.
Saturday, April 6th, it's the main event at the historic Columbia Speedway in Casey, featuring Highland Games, Celtic dance, music, and food, featuring exhibits like sheepdog herding, birds of prey, and classic British cars at the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Get your tickets now at TartanDaySouth.com.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Rama Columbia, and go Gamecocks.
Cold Joe here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight out the bucket. Mmm. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning, it'll melt in your mouth, it's good on a cracker, it's good in a bowl, it's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well. And they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O signing off. Endless summer. Go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
By me. Yeah, I love when somebody comes in having a tough day. Like if you come in after a loss, I love to change your day. That's our biggest goal. You know, that's our biggest thing. We want our managers to, you know, like you're coming to our house to let it go, let go of all your stuff you had going on that day, and we can change your day. I mean, people might have struggled with business for the day, but once they get it all, they just relax and enjoy and let us take care of the show.
I always say that life's so hard outside. I mean, you know, think about it, you know, all the work day and then coming, you know, parking. Maybe they got a date, it's anniversary, and they're, the guy, the pressure on the guy or the girl, entertain clients, entertain your boosters. I mean, all that stuff happens. And then for us to sit there and let us take care of you, like, that's, you know, that's a lost art. You can't Amazon that. You know, you can't do that from home. To go out and get dressed up and come to a nice fine dining restaurant, it's a lost art. And we want to keep that special, keep it unique. And but, you know, all your worries are gone. Sit down in our seat, like at our house, and it's our job. We're going to make you feel good.
All right, it's 1:55. Quick hitter for Chin Music. You can find that on the Chief Sports app. Sweet 16 tonight, 7:09. Sixth seeded Clemson, second seeded Arizona, fifth seeded San Diego State, top seeded UConn at 7:39, 9:39 Bama and North Carolina on CBS, and 10:09 TBS Illinois and Iowa State. UConn 11.5-point favorites. The smallest spread, Iowa State 1.5 over Illinois. We all can collectively say, go Arizona. Tonight at 8 o'clock on the SEC Network, that is the Gamecocks. South Carolina is on the road in Tuscaloosa against the Crimson Tide. Richard Cross and Chris Burke will be on the call. Of course, you can listen to it as well. Derek Scott, Stuart Lake will have it beginning at 7:45. On the Gamecocks Sports Network, Tide come in ranked 16th in the country, 19-6 overall, 2-4 in the league, and their leadoff hitter is a dandy. Gage Miller is up there with a .429 batting average and 11 home runs from the leadoff spot. He's going to be a tight one and a tough one to get out. So we'll see how Eli Jones handles it, who is expected to get the ball a day early this week versus the Tide's Zane Adams, a freshman lefty starting on Friday nights, 2-1 with a 4.26 earned run average, only 12 strikeouts in 19 innings pitched. Neither one of these guys are strikeout guys on a Friday night. That's rare in the SEC. Overall, though, the staff nod goes to South Carolina this weekend. For what it's worth, Coach Kingston earned his 200th win over Presbyterian at South Carolina this past Tuesday. 473 wins overall, so he's 27 shy, and he could get there, of 500 on his career. Ethan Petrie also recorded his 100th career RBI against the Blue Hose, and he's now got, Petrie now has 101 RBI in only 88 career games. And another 100 for you, Cole Messina recorded his 100th career hit versus Presbyterian, joining Talmadge Lecroy and Ethan Petrie in the 100 hit club with this team. So, certainly looking forward to them rolling it out there. Mike, it's hard to win on the road in the SEC, isn't it, my man?
It is. You know, the old school of thumb, if you can win one, that's, you're not like giddy on the bus ride back, but you're content. You win two, you are giddy. You win three, you're downright apoplectic and, you know, elation around that box of pizza, which is smelling up the bus by hour three, for a number of reasons. It tastes so much better. That Jimmy John's sub that you've eaten 27 times already throughout the season tastes a lot better. Alabama, you know, they built a new ballpark about 6-7 years ago. It's nice, but they don't support it the way the other SEC teams do. You're not walking into Starkville, Fayetteville, you know, Tennessee now, Florida now, LSU, and South Carolina for sure. You're not walking into that. It's going to be a little more just kind of subdued, quite honestly. But still, it's going to be anytime you're on the road, it's going to be a challenging series. I look forward to seeing how Carolina responds, because you're the toast of the town when you sweep Vanderbilt, right? Like we already talked about the metrics, the RPI, everything else, the polls. So everybody's back high, bullish on Gamecock baseball. You don't want to go and lay an egg in Tuscaloosa. Don't want to do that in T-Town now.
I like Carolina's pitchers in this matchup. I think Alabama is good at hitting the ball, but I think so is Carolina. I against teams through the years, South Carolina's, when they've had pitching, they've really fared well against teams that can get up there and mash with the best of them, but that don't have pitching depth, especially when South Carolina's lineup is equal and has firepower. Carolina just tends to pitch a little bit better. I look for Eli Jones and everybody else at all this weekend to shine and for the Gamecocks to get their share of runs and come out of Tuscaloosa with a big series victory. Whether they sweep or not, who knows? A sweep would be preferable because that would put them all of a sudden, guys, at 7-2 in the league through 9 games. Mm-hmm. Everybody's complaining just a week ago how quickly things change. But I said, anybody in the SEC these days, man, you can sweep Vanderbilt and that bunch. Sweet. It's always sweet to beat those guys. I think every school in the league feels that way by this point. It's just sweet to beat them.
I don't know how many times I have to say week in and week out, God, don't fall apart over one series in college baseball. I hate to see them lose as much as anybody, but you're going to lose in college baseball. It's going to happen. They're going to lose another series. They might lose two. They might lose four more. They might go 5-5 in league series this year and be a top 8 national seed. That's the name of the game.
You can get swept on the road in this league against anybody.
Anybody. No.
Anybody. Seen it happen way too many times.
And by the way, we'll get out in front of this too, JC. If they lose the series this weekend, Mark Kings is not getting fired on Sunday. So go ahead and hold that tweet until at least June. Okay.
Ray Tanna.
Hold on. He ain't going to come home and get fired for not winning the series in Tuscaloosa.
By the way, so, Mike, I sent you something in that private chat. For you, for your guy.
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention that. I didn't want to interrupt. But David Vaughn, shoot me your email address, morganonair@gmail.com, and I'll make sure you got two tickets to the Tartan Day Festival this weekend. Take your special one. The wife. Take Mrs. Vaughn. You got all 3 days. Have a good time, my man. Send some pictures. I literally, my wife and I were going to go, but we wound up squeezing in some vacation down here in Florida. But it looks like a really cool event. So you're all covered, David. Thank you for chiming in.
I met David. He came to see me at D's. There was four different sets of people came to D's. So I was like, that's pretty cool. You know, you think average ticket, some of them had some beers and meals. So average ticket, about $60. I think I made D's some money that day. So that was
Only you can.
I'm a cash.
Do more of those. I'd like to do some remotes. Get this quad four out there on the road.
By the way, traveling road show.
It's traveling road show. There's still two more tickets if somebody wants to hit up. I know we're not on the air tomorrow, but you can hit up early next week and we'll give those away. But yeah, we need to do. We need to come back down here and do a show is what we need to do. We didn't get cheated on the South Florida trip for JC's wedding. I'll tell you that.
Hey, Mike, JC. Oh, I didn't show JC this either. Anybody? I got a golf ball in it. Anybody recognize that?
I can't make
the shot glass for the wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this is what I'm pouring my sick meds in today.
Nice.
Yeah, you need a day off, my friend. You sound like it's something's hitting you.
After expansion, you know how many SEC baseball programs will have won national championships? 10 of the 16.
Yeah.
And I didn't know Missouri had won one in the 50s.
Yeah. It's on their outfield wall at that ballpark, in front of 200 fans.
Well,
amazingly enough, Arkansas has never won one, and Tennessee, Texas A&M, Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky's never even been. Kentucky's the one SEC program that's never been to Omaha. They've been to a couple of supers under Mingione, but have never been. And we talked about Florida State never winning at all those trips to Omaha under the legendary Coach Martin. But they've never won at all. There's a lot of really good programs that have never won at all. Arkansas has got to be thinking about that pop fly, which should have been handled by the right fielder. I'm Dave Van Horn, who's as good a coach as there any in the country. I go to bed every night with a potential nightmare of reliving that play in my brain. It's been five years, and I still can't get it out. They should have had one over Oregon State that year. Should have.
Mm-hmm. I have one question, Jamie, before we go. Or it's not just Jamie. I kind of gave it away. All right, so the Mountain West has two men's basketball national champions. Obviously, UNLV.
I can't hear him. Can you?
I can't hear him either.
UNLV, and who's the other? Is that the question?
I'm sorry. There's two Mountain West programs in men's basketball to win the national championship. One, because I thought about this because San Diego State last year. One's obviously UNLV from the 90s. What is the other Mountain West school to win a national championship in men's basketball?
And UNLV was in the Big West when they did it, for the record.
Yeah.
Current Mountain West.
Yeah.
Current. I don't have a list of teams. Give me some Mountain West teams.
I think Jamie got it.
Wyoming.
Wyoming.
Yeah, Wyoming. Oh, and like the 50s, 40s?
The 40s, man.
The 40s?
During World War II, the Cowpokes of 42 won the national championship.
And I still think of Wyoming in the WAC for some reason.
Wyoming has one of the more unique basketball gyms in the entire country.
I'd love to go there. It's Dennis shaped, Dembo, that name mean anything?
Shaped like an egg. It's really, really strange, but it's cool. It's neat. You don't see it. You don't see that ever. It's
never been to Laramie.
Laramie's great. There. Great place. We're going this summer. Can't wait. Hello, Laramie.
I would like to go. I'll do a surprise visit. I'll do a pop in.
I'll get in the car and drive out and see you, man.
Yeah.
To me, like Thelma and Louise.
Thank you, Lynn. We've got somebody with some sense in here today, giving Coach Tanner some credit for the facilities at South Carolina.
They've never looked better, and I've seen every one of them at every SEC campus, and I'm here to tell you, Carolina went from dead stinking last in a lot of respects. They are right up there. I mean,
I've been in the bubble.
I've been there and back, boys.
If you had a ball, if you hit a ball in the cage in the bubble and it somehow broke out of there, it might take out one of the track stars, or it could hit a tennis player. Who knew what was going to happen?
It's come a long way.
Yeah, you slip on the track in the bubble, and you wonder why'd you slip. Well, the roof was leaking. Oh, okay. Well, who would have thunk it? One other SEC baseball series to keep an eye on. No, it's not Missouri at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's going to take all of their frustration out on the Tigers. But LSU at Arkansas begins tonight. LSU's ace is a former Alabama Crimson Tide, Luke Holman. So keep an eye on that series.
They struggled a bit. LSU has.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
They, you know, it ain't easy repeating.
Yeah.
You know, it's not not easy to do.
What'd they do, JC? Took about $250,000, $500,000, went out and bought a bunch of players, and it'll take them some time to come together, and then they'll be all right.
Who Skeens kid, LSU. The Skeens kid, I didn't check all the opening day rosters. I guess he didn't make it, but you'll see him in the show by year's end. Wyatt Langford of Florida got drafted and is playing today on opening day. That is rare to see a guy get drafted in June and then play on opening day.
You know what that is? That's a huge hat tip to college baseball. Because those days are gone, Mike, where all the money won out with the younger guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're increasingly going to college baseball because it's getting them to the big leagues by making a 3-year pit stop in college baseball.
No question. And NIL only helps.
Yeah, and you're making enough money. LSU does have that master of clubhouse camaraderie and chemistry, Michael Braswell, on the roster now.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a great
team guy. The real glue guy.
Glue guy there.
Glue guy.
Yeah, Michael Braswell.
Noted glue guy.
The term exit interview. That's kind of be applicable there. So. Anyway, let's get out of here, boys. I got to go do some stuff. It's been real.
Thanks to John Strickland, Brad Muller, and the Golden Tones, Schubert, and Mad Dog. We're off tomorrow. Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
See you on Monday on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.